talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You've probably heard this already from news reports and public health alerts, but it can't be said enough. If you listen to this podcast in any form, headphones, in your car, from the next room, and you experience any shortness of breath, please seek medical attention immediately.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm gonna go get it. That's the keeper right there.
This is why you failed.
Walk on.
And now.
Hey, Alan McKay, I just need one more badge to make Eagle Scout. My badge for banging. Can you help me out with that?
Our feature presentation.
Call me.
Okay. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It is the 30th of November.
What's up, you guys? How was everybody's Thanksgiving?
Very good.
It's wonderful. How was yours, Bean?
It was good. It was low-key. My wife got late to the market to buy the turkey the day before, and all that was left was the largest of all possible turkeys.
All right.
For the two of you?
There were actually five.
Oh.
Five people, which is, four more than I would have preferred. But, I have been at Thanksgivings where they're, 12, 13, 15, and that's BS. But anyway, the point is, a 22-pound turkey for five people means that we will be eating turkey well into Valentine's Day.
What's your policy on eating turkey? Because it seems like you don't eat, I guess, is it just the animals that you have? Is that how you decide?
Is your question, do I eat birds? Yes.
Yeah.
I do eat chicken and turkeys, yes.
Okay.
Chickens, turkeys, and fishes I do eat. I know, people have joked for centuries about how many different ways you can have the turkey leftovers with the sandwiches and with the soups and with the pot pies and with the pizza. There's just a million things you could do with turkey, but we're going to be eating turkey forever.
Yeah.
So we froze a whole bunch of it, just figuring, there's no way. I mean, we're going to run out of steam on it at some point here in the next month.
22-pound
turkey.
That's ridiculous.
Did it fit in the oven?
Barely did it fit in the oven.
Shoving
it in like you do in the suitcase.
Help me push, goddammit! It really isn't a joke. There was less than a half an inch from the top of the bird in the oven and on the sides, too. I mean, it was crazy how big that turkey was. But, I mean, it was, it was delicious. But I rushed everybody out of the house as soon as the meal was done. They wanted to watch a movie or play board games or something like that. But I said, well, you look at the time. It was like, at this point.
Like it's 4.
Well, it was 5:15. So I felt like it was time to call it, So it was all right. I got them in there around 3, got them out of there around 5:15. So we were back to turning off the lights and just laying down. So that was better. How about you, Allie? How was yours?
It was glorious. I go to a house that has about 9 to 10 people there, and it's just fun and tons of stories, tons of food. Oh, the best food. But the bummer is you leave with no leftovers. So you're so lucky.
Oh, really? You steal leftovers.
I always feel like, really? You've been cooking for 10 hours? Can I also take stuff home? I feel awful.
They should offer, though.
Hold on. They do offer?
Yes.
They say take some home?
I just feel bad.
But they're saying.
I know. I'm one of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then I'll get home and be sad about it.
They say take stuff home to me, and then I just start loading up. I just back
right,
up the car.
Back the truck up.
Okay, that's probably enough. You said I could take stuff back home.
I was wondering about this. In fact, I was having a conversation with this about the guy at 7-Eleven on Friday. Why aren't there more food holidays? Everybody loves Thanksgiving. It's the greatest. Why do we only do it one time a year? Like, shouldn't there be a Thanksgiving-type holiday, like in March or something? Or February? Or April? Just somewhere where we could go through the pleasure again of having an enormous meal for fun. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just thinking about that poor bastard that works at 7-Eleven. He comes home and his wife says, "How was your day?" And she goes, "Oh, Bean came in again. Oh, no!
Well, we're chatting.
Right.
You know, like you do.
Oh, you don't chat. You do a monologue. You just do a straight
filibuster.
No, he had
everybody else
say.
Listens.
He was like, that is right, sir. You know, and that's why I feel like I get some sort of confirmation that my theory is a good one. So anyway, let's work on that. Let's get another food holiday.
I love
what
you,
Bean. Well, I'm serious though.
No,
right. But how do we? What's step one of working on that?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know. I don't know if we have to defeat another native people in order to claim it. I don't know what the process is to make a Thanksgiving, but I think we should do it. All right, do we have time for this thing, or do we have to move on and do? The
we
other
probably
thing?
Have time.
All right, this is great, you guys. And I remember how much management enjoyed it a few months ago when we brought you the details of the world's most beautiful vagina contest. Remember?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
I loved it.
Remember the fun meeting afterwards where they asked how we could possibly think that that was a good idea?
Yeah.
Well, it was a great idea. The genius behind that, if you don't remember, by the way, World's Most Beautiful Vagina Contest was an online beauty pageant, basically, for lady parts. And the winner, if I recall correctly, got a few $1,000s. And then they also made a mold of her vagina, I think, that you could buy. She, you know, became a model, a vagina model. Well, now, believe it or not, Brian Sloan is back in the news. He says, people have been asking me, hey, what about men? Are you going to have a penis contest next? And I have told them, no, he is having a most beautiful testicles pageant.
Yeah! Well, hold, please. I'm not sure the kids are into balls.
Now, you guys are the right audience for this because Chip, Allie, Kevin, you guys have all seen plenty of testicles. You tell me, is there any way that any testicles are pretty?
No.
No.
It's a fail body part, right?
Yes.
I mean, you could go ugliest.
Yeah.
You could go that way.
They're going prettiest.
Yeah, no.
I love this sentence from the Huffington Post article. People who are gung-ho about being hung low can join him in celebrating scrotal beauty and diversity by uploading photos of their balls to ballscontest.com. Mr. Sloan says, the penis receives most of the attention when it comes to male genitalia, and I thought a contest about a penis would be too predictable. The scrotum, in many cases, comprises the bulk of the volume of the male genitals, yet it is rarely discussed, and beauty standards for it are unknown.
Maybe put a little bow tie on it.
Well, I mean,
I like it.
You certainly can dress it up. As for the judging, the public, as in the vagina contest, the public will get to score each scrotum from 1 to 10 stars, but nobody really has set definite scrotal standards.
Scrotal standards.
I think larger looks better than smaller, says Mr. Sloan, and a fuller bag looks nicer than an empty bag, meaning that not only should the scrotum be large, but the volume should be mostly filled by testicles.
What about the ball throw? Do you go that way?
Ooh, see, it doesn't say anything about that. Here, it does
shave
say,
a nice little mustache.
It does say, when it comes to wrinkles, I prefer a smoother look, and hair-wise, some is okay as long as it does not totally obscure the view.
Well, you have no control over the wrinkles, do you?
Right. You don't at all. No, there's nothing.
That's just genetic.
He also
suggested somebody punch you right there and then it'll swell and then everything's cool with the wrinkles.
Oh, yeah. He suggested good photo composition and lighting can improve a person's odds of
winning.
The person judging the best balls gets a cash prize, and that person will get a 3D scan, which he then plans to turn into paperweights, doorstops, and bookends. So there you go, ladies. If you want to go and vote, ballscontest.com. Man, if you'd like to enter, the contest is up and running. So good luck.
We could do our own.
No.
Allie at KRock.
Nope. I'm good. No, I actually don't have that email anymore.
I thought you did.
Yeah, they're changing it. Yeah. Nope, they're changing it.
I'm pretty sure you have that email.
Nope.
When are they changing it?
I think in 2 weeks they're changing it.
So we have 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Over 150 entrants, by the way, have already been received. Voting continues until Christmas Day, which certainly makes the baby Jesus happy.
If you're lying, why not go 2 weeks ago?
I don't know. I said 2 weeks. As soon as I said it, I'm like, that's pretty much the dumbest thing you've said.
2 weeks ago.
Yet.
No, we still have 2 weeks to do it. All right. So people, get out there and send in those well-lit photographs.
Right?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
I can assure you it isn't funny.
Andrew Siciliano will be on the program today talking about the NFL.
And then there was one.
Yeah, no kidding. That's crazy.
Yep.
Arizona struggled like hell to beat the 49ers. It was rough. It was a rough game.
I don't want to talk about rough.
What happened, Allie?
Well,
I didn't see what happened.
Most of the players left via ambulance rather than via their own free will.
It wasn't
a lot of injuries.
Good. Yeah. Oh, just Gronkowski. Yeah.
I didn't
see
that.
He has an MRI scheduled for today, but no big deal. Just the one player besides Brady that you don't want.
Chip, Dolphins?
Oh.
Same old Dolphins.
Yeah.
Wait, how many rushing yards total?
12.
12. And she's not kidding.
Not kidding.
Oh.
Dolphin strong.
Also on the program today, we're going to meet another Miss Double D contestant. Rosa will be in the studio. You can vote for that online at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Kobe Bryant yesterday announced he was going to retire. And I have two things to say. I love Kobe Bryant. I'm bummed.
Yeah.
And it's about time.
Yeah.
Both.
I thought part two was going to be, what took you so long?
Well, it's about
time. I think that's
time.
What he's saying.
And
yeah.
Same thing, yeah. I mean, it's just at the end of the season, but still, you know, once he's announced it, now it's the end of an era, you know?
Yeah. And that's a conversation to be had, too. When do you announce it?
And do you announce it with a poem? Like Kobe did. That was sort of strange.
I've got a little haiku. What?
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have Luke Robitaille coming into the studio from the LA Kings. And we have your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. So that's all coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Did I hear a little Ralph Graham and double clap at the end
you
of that
did.
Song right there?
Yeah.
I bring it.
Very nice. Hey, Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the final day of Blowvember. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Mr. Graham?
Well, because it is Monday, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in their local theaters, and it turns out Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 still has a grip on the nation as it made $51.6 million this week.
That's not bad.
Yeah, pretty strong. Of course, it was a Thanksgiving weekend, which allowed a lot of extra people to find their way to the theaters. The Good Dinosaur, as you can imagine, was also a big hit. People with kids trying to find something to entertain them for a couple hours. $39.2 million in its debut made it number two. Then Creed debuted to strong numbers, a little over $30 million for that motion picture, the latest in the Rocky legacy. Good movie. I saw it over the weekend. Really
good. Same. Loved it.
Really thought it was well done.
Yeah.
Great performances, great direction. Creed did particularly well in the city of Philadelphia, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes.
That's odd.
It was the number one grossing film in that particular John right there.
That's
by the way,
alive?
Did you catch the John tutorial there in the middle of the movie?
The eight times that they said it and explained it? Yeah, I did.
I mean, that one time?
No,
at the
they
table
said it more than once.
She said it because that's what people say in Philadelphia. But in one moment, she explained to him what it meant. And I was like, maybe Kevin will learn how to use this word now. Then I said, oh, wait a minute. What am I talking about? It's Kevin.
Was it?
He's
was
looking
it
for a milk dud he dropped in his pants a half an hour ago.
All right, that happened. But yeah. It doesn't mean I can't pay attention.
Was it a super Johnny part of the movie?
It's not how you say that
she
word.
She Johned the crap out of that not, meal,
once
though,
again,
right?
Not how what? You use that. Once
Ralph,
again,
we did get
incorrect.
An email from a listener over the weekend who caught a John reference on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air over
yes,
the weekend.
Yes, of course you did.
Show set in Philadelphia.
I think I make this up. It's used by Philadelphians far but and I, wide, near and dear.
But maybe it shouldn't be, though. I think
but
it was, what was coming
be.
Back at you.
What you should do is go back to 7-Eleven and talk about your food holidays.
7-Eleven is his John.
See, now Alan knows John. How to use it.
Well done.
Hey, why do we have more food holidays?
Yeah. Hey, that's a legitimate question.
Because no one eats big meals at holidays.
There's no day on the calendar.
Every holiday
like
is a big
like
food
Thanksgiving.
Day.
That's true.
How about Christmas dinner? One of the most legendary dinners of the year. How about Easter dinner? Massive ham, giant portions, giant sides. Easter, huge meal.
Plus, all holidays start with celebrating something else, and then you add food to it. Bean just wants to go, let's pick a day and have food.
You know what?
Right.
Just make yourself a big meal at home. Relax. You don't need anybody's permission. Doesn't have to be on the calendar. Stuff yourself, you glutton.
I just feel like we're missing an opportunity as a nation to have another big food.
We have about 3 months of turkey left over, so you can have one in January and February, maybe March.
Just saying.
Spectre was fourth. The Peanuts movie was fifth. The Night Before, Secret in Their Eyes, Spotlight, Brooklyn, and The Martian rounded out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, the latest Star Wars film, The Force Awakens, has finally achieved its rating from the Motion Picture Association of America. When it opens on December the 18th, it will be rated PG-13.
Ooh. Taint Wars.
Which means...
Star Wars.
Finally, space boobies! That's what I'm guessing, right? Why else?
All right,
I found your lack of nipple disturbing.
I have a
space
serious...
boobies with no nipples on them.
No, he has a serious question.
I was talking to Abdul at the 7-Eleven the other day. What's with space boobies?
No, this is a legitimate question. I know you guys are going to think it's stupid, but I'm serious about this. Why are they spending so much money to advertise the Star Wars movie?
I thought the exact same thing when I saw the commercials, because I was like, isn't everyone going already?
Yeah, every show has a Star Wars ad in it now, and I'm just thinking, at what point are you just reaching people who are already aware of the franchise and going to the movie? Is it a waste of money, I guess is my question.
It is not a waste of money at all.
Because, is it a food holiday?
Because they should have a food holiday for Star Wars.
Is it your John?
So was there somebody out there yesterday watching The Walking Dead, and then the Star Wars Force Awakens commercial came on, and they went, you know what? I am going to go see that.
That's what happens. The constant barrage of publicity and mania around it creates a climate which makes it impossible for you not to go see the movie. That's the thing. You've already got the Star Wars fans. Yes, they're going.
Yeah, true.
But what you want to do is create a climate in the nation where it's must-see filmmaking.
And you don't feel like we accomplished that about a month of commercials ago?
No, because the average person is not like you and me, who are way tuned in to mass media and pop culture, and you're following all that. You have to reach a saturation point so every American has to feel compelled to go see this.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
So someone saw it yesterday and went, hey,
Bean, yes.
They're trying to reach people who weren't going already.
No one saw that and said, oh, I'm going to go and see it. But that commercial led to a conversation in their workplace or whatever. It's just, you're adding to the climate of mania that will contribute to everyone going to see this film.
I don't like it.
I don't think it really matters whether you like it or not. It's advertising 101.
It's too much.
And they're from Canada.
It's just Monday, people.
I know.
It's just Monday.
Remember last week we were like, wow, Bean's on fire. We need a weekend so bad.
And now you come in and say, body blow, body blow, body blow. Again, I'm like, it's like the first fight in Creed. It's just the cameras follow me around and I'm just getting just pummeled in Tijuana. Right? Who's with me?
No one.
Yeah. Zoolander, while we're talking about movies, Zoolander upsetting some people. Zoolander.
Upsetting people.
Well, I'm upset that they made Zoolander.
Sure.
Too, but the fact that there is a controversy surrounding it, even though the movie doesn't hit theaters till February, is surprising to me. You may have seen the trailer where Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson's characters are back as Derek Zoolander and Hansel, the two models. And they meet the new model of the day, the hottest model working, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, is a model known as All, who is a gender-fluid model.
Here we go.
In the premise. He's asked by Zoolander and Hansel in the trailer if he's a male or a female model. Do you have a hot dog or a bun? They ask him at one point. And Benedict Cumberbatch responds with, he is all. He is all. He is male. He is female. He is all. Well, the transgender community.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war.
It's,
race war's on, everybody. It's going down. Shit, it's going down.
It's got to do with race,
come on.
You say.
Race war.
Not a race war. They say it's offensive because Benedict's over-the-top character is a mockery of androgen, trans, and non-binary individuals.
Non-binary?
Now they're non-binary. They are not made out of ones and zeros.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Wow.
I guess that means they don't have one or the other in terms of it's not easily divisible by two in terms of what their gender or sexuality is. So they have started, surprise, surprise, an online petition with nearly 16,000 signatures demanding people boycott the movie Zoolander 2. Well, I'm on board. I won't be going. In support of the transgender community, I will not be going to see Zoolander 2.
You were not going before, Ralph.
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
But he gets to make this face. He makes that face a lot.
They mock pretty much everyone in that movie.
Although Beaver gets murdered in it, I'm kind of tempted.
Yeah.
Kind of tempted to go see that film. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mandy Patinkin, 63 years old today. Singer Billy Idol turns 60. Speaking of him, Derek Zoolander himself, Ben Stiller, is 50 years old today. Ryan Murphy, also 50. Steve Aoki's 38. Robert Kirkman, our good friend and creator of Walking Dead, is 37. Alicia Cuthbert, 33 years old today. Kelly Cuoco celebrates her 30th birthday. Chrissy Teigen, the lovely and talented, is 30. And that's it. That's the list.
Okay.
Right there. I had one more name on the list. I said, I'm not going to say that name.
Call him Variable.
Call him Variable.
All right.
Omaha! 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 How about that Brock Osweiler? How about that kid?
For the Broncos, pretty good.
Pretty good.
I saw a quarterback sneak for the first time in 3 years from the Broncos.
Well, he's 100 feet tall. His arms are 12 feet long.
His arms are ridiculous.
So he just holds the ball out, and they've got a first down. If he would just hold the ball out every time, they would have a first down, because his arms are literally 10 yards long. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garno. Walk the Showbiz Beat.
Is it hard for you people to imagine that Acoustic Christmas is a week from Saturday and a week from Sunday?
Is that hard for me to imagine, knowing what I know about calendars and how days work?
Seems.
I think I got my head around it.
Okay,
I think I can grasp it.
Right. It does seem soon, Kevin.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
Because if you want tickets, we have them.
Come on, Bean,
play along.
That band right there, Cold War Kids, is going to be one of the bands you'll be seeing on the night number two, the December 13th at the Forum, along with Monsters and Man, Panic at the Disco, the 1975, Chris Cornell, and so much more. I'm sorry to say you're going to be have the opportunity to cluck the hits. That's going to be happening.
The clucker was upset. Wants another shot.
So apparently that's a thing that's happening. We'll catch up with the TMZ.com newsroom in minutes, but first, give me a little of that Rocky theme, would you? Kevin, what were your expectations going into the theater this weekend to see Creed versus what you got by the time you left?
My expectations were high because everybody was saying that it was so great, and it was.
Really?
Yeah, it really was great.
Lived up.
It was better than three of the other ones, of the originals. Huh. You know what I mean? Like number four where he was in Russia? Dumb.
Yeah.
Right? This may have been the second best.
There are people who said that it was the best of all the sequels. And
yeah.
That Michael B. Jordan, what a tremendous actor he is, too.
Yeah, he was really good.
Love that kid so much. But there wouldn't be a Rocky without our next guest, Sylvester Stallone himself, the man who starred in, created the character, wrote the first movie, got nominated for an Oscar for. Sly, you won an Oscar for the screenplay of that first one, too, right?
Oh, Rocky IV was stupid.
Well, I was afraid of that.
I mean, you were in Russia.
Yeah, I was in Russia.
Then you were given the speech, if we can get along, can everybody else get along? Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I want the world to get along.
I'm sorry, we got off on the wrong foot. I apologize.
Oh, I'm a bad guy because I don't want people to kill each other. Because Rocky Balboa says, you know, the two of us in this ring killed each other, but better two people than 20 million people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if you can get along and I can get along,
right,
then we can all get along.
Got along, right. Yeah. In Kevin's defense, though, Rocky IV was about half flashbacks, right? There was very little new footage shot for that film.
I don't think I like this conversation at all.
I think they both misspoke.
It was a whole movie that was just flashbacks, and by the way, it helped bring down the wall.
Oh.
Well, okay.
That's a reach.
All right? Me and Hasselhoff brought down the wall in Berlin, all right?
All right. Okay. We were mistaken, and we apologize.
Yeah, well, okay. All right then.
So, Sly, every time you do a Rocky movie, we all feel like it's going to be the last movie because, let's be honest, you're 100. So,
you know what? I'm trying real hard to be on your show and do an interview and all.
No, we appreciate it.
Punching? What, you don't like me? You think my house stinks?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's nice that you figured out a way to make another Rocky movie without you having to be the one getting hit in the face.
Well, I, didn't plan to make another Rocky movie.
Right.
Rocky Balboa, my last Rocky film, was sort of, my goodbye character.
Right.
But it was... Ryan Coogler said, I think there's another story should be told. And I said, I don't think so, And he said, yeah, I think so. I said, I don't think so. And I punched him in the face.
Well, I don't think that was necessary.
Then
just
he said,
it up.
read the script. I read the script. It's like, oh, now I feel bad, you know, for punching him in the face.
Right.
And he said, it's a good script. And, you know, I didn't write it and I didn't direct it. You know, so I'm just, you know, acting in the film as Rocky Balboa.
Now, was that a little strange to be in that role without writing it?
Yeah, you know, you have to have a certain amount of trust, you know, because this is my character. I created it, you know, and I didn't want him, you know, make me look like a stupid, all right? I won't be stupid.
Right, okay.
But I thought it was really good, and now everybody says, you know, oh, you're going to win an Oscar, you know? That would be great to win an Oscar because I made a movie called Oscar.
Right.
And I thought I should have won a movie Oscar for the movie Oscar.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't say that again out loud just to stay in consideration for the prize.
You know what? You don't tell me what to do, right? I tell you what to do.
So, Sly, they're already talking about making Creed 2, so I guess you're back as Rocky Balboa again.
Yeah, you know, I'm all excited about doing another one, and they say maybe even a third Creed, you know?
How about that?
And I'm like, I don't know. Can you really take a movie about a boxer and make a bunch of sequels? That seems stupid. Oh, wait, are you going to cut me, Mick? Cut me, Mick!
Mick's gone, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cut me, Michael B. Jordan. Cut me. You got to cut me. I can't see out of the eye. I can't see out of the eye. You got to cut me. I can't see out of my eye.
Right. Why?
I don't know. Something's in it.
Okay. Well, let you go get to that. Hockey Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll meet yet another Miss Double December contestant. Rosa will be stopping by later today. By the way, don't forget, go to kevinandbean.com or kerrick.com and cast your vote to see who you would like to have represent the Kevin and Bean Show as Miss Double December 2016. It's Monday morning. We talked to the TMZ.com newsroom. I guess Harvey's in a meeting or something. Our friend Dax is on the phone. Hi, Dax. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
How was your Thanksgiving weekend? TMZ, you guys probably don't get too many actual days off, though, right?
We got Thursday, Friday off. It was a good week.
Okay. That's nice.
Harvey gave us a break.
That's great. Well, listen, you got a serious story on the site that I want to talk about. I've been a Sinead O'Connor fan since her first album back in the 80s, and she has had a tortured life, Dax. A lot of our younger listeners may not know. She was a huge star at one point, a big K-rock artist, but a lot of mental illness and suicide attempts, and she was diagnosed as bipolar. She has had all sorts of problems over the years with her family. She's been married a bunch of times, but this weekend, it really looked like we'd lost her for a minute, didn't it?
Oh, for sure. She was, posting up on Facebook just a bunch of very bizarre, scary posts where it kind of sounded like she had done an overdose, or she had taken a bunch of pills and she was trying to overdose and potentially commit suicide. I mean, just if you read all of the posts, you know, she says she's been, there's been all these horrific set of betrayals by her family, and she was going after her husband, her son's girlfriend. I mean, everyone in her life she was just kind of ripping apart in this Facebook post, and then says, you know, I've taken an overdose. There's no way to get respect. I'm not at home. I'm at a hotel somewhere in Ireland under another name. Like, basically saying, I'm killing myself and you're not going to be able to find me. And a lot of her fans were really freaking out reading all of this stuff. But we did find out that law enforcement over there confirmed they did find her safe and sound somewhere in Dublin, and she is now getting medical attention.
How did they find her?
I don't know. Maybe it was, you know, people starting to report on the story. We put it up. It got a lot of traction. Maybe they said, okay, we need to go out there. We need to track this woman down because clearly she could be a danger to herself.
I mean, I guess she's well known, particularly in Ireland, enough that somebody who saw her at that hotel might have, you know, called the authorities.
Yeah, she's a big deal over there. I think someone walking in, seeing this woman, knowing who she is, even if she's under a fake name, you're still going to recognize Sinead O'Connor.
Even the authorities, I imagine, could call or go to hotels and check on her, you know, even if she's using a fake name, they would have a reason to say, no, we need to know if Sinead O'Connor is there.
Yeah, and you know what? I just read this morning she was also posting some bizarre stuff again this morning, saying that, she's going, once again, going after her family, saying, you stole my sons from me. And this apparently all started back when she had a hysterectomy in August, and she's saying that her family is keeping her babies from her. She can't take it anymore. I don't know.
Wow, it's ugly.
I hope she gets some help.
I do too. And by the way, speaking of getting some help, you and I think you put this up on the site. Her current husband is her therapist that she had met on the internet. Ooh. I mean, that's the kind of crazy life this lady.
Wow.
Is so. Well, yeah. keep us posted on that because she at one time was such a phenomenal talent. And obviously, it's really scary stuff anytime you get this kind of mental illness involved. All right, let's move on. I haven't read the article yet, but Dave tells me that there is some good news for Lamar Odom as a result of all those drugs that apparently he was taking in the brothel. He's not going to be charged. Is that right?
Yeah, so it sounds like he's going to get cut a break, you know, when it comes to at least legal-wise. You know, there was the DA out there in Nevada was basically saying that they were going to go ahead and try to prosecute him for the cocaine possession, and now it seems like they're backing off of that. They're saying, maybe not so much. It seems like a medical condition because, you know, it was the coke and all the stuff that led him to the hospital. So now I think they kind of feel bad that he is in such bad shape. They don't want to go ahead and prosecute him. There's been no other cases out there in Nevada where they've prosecuted in the same situation that Lamar's in. So I think they can't really do it at this point. As for his medical condition.
Yeah, how is he doing now?
Not good, you guys.
Not good.
Really not doing good. You know, he's not talking. He can't walk by himself. So a lot of his cognitive functions are just so severely impaired that it's going to take a really long time for him to get better. You know, and I don't know if it's ever going to get back to old Lamar.
Wow. So he's probably paid enough of a price for that poor drug-taking decision, it sounds
like. But, like, how bad does it look for the DA to go after him when he's sitting in the hospital and he can't walk and he's not doing so hot? It looks bad. I mean, I get it. I get where they're coming from. They've got a lot of pressure on them, people expecting them to charge him. But you can't do it if you've never done it to anyone else in the past.
This is a voice of our friend Dax Holt here on the Kevin Bean Show from TMZ.com. Let's do one more. A little bit of a controversy involving Kendall Jenner this time around with a photo she put, what, on her Instagram?
She posted the photo on Instagram, and it looks like her laying naked on the top of a horse over the weekend, and she didn't actually post anything underneath it. So everyone's like, "Wow, yeah, Kendall, nice naked body laying on a horse." Apparently, it's not her; it's another model, and she totally just jacked the photo, put it up on her Instagram, and didn't really say much. Well, it's a French model named Alyssa Minnelli, I think is how you say her name, and that's it. And so everyone's kind of feeling like they got ripped off, like it's not actually a photo of naked Kendall Jenner.
But it's sort of my favorite part of the story is that actress, I mean, model, really took no offense to it. She was my picture's up.
That's great.
I love that.
She was like, I think she felt honored.
Yeah. That's an oddball story, isn't it? I didn't see the way that was going. All right. And Kendall is the one who is 18 or is not 18. I just need to know what I should be thinking right now.
They're all 18.
They're all 18. Okay. Wow. Nothing but great news from Dax. TMZ OG airs on Fox throughout the day on Channel 11. TMZ Live, of course, Monday through Friday at 4, also on Fox Channel 11. And TMZ Sports, now with a new home at Fox Sports 1 at midnight. Dax, give our best to Harvey. Thank you for the time, sir. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
By his own admission, he is the 200th best player in the NBA, shooting 30% from the field, 20% from three-point range, averaging 15.5 points a game. He has announced his retirement. We're talking about Lakers' Kobe Bryant. I guess we saw this coming, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I even sort of wanted it to come because he's obviously past his prime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a bummer when it happens.
And some of it is age, but some of it is just injury. I mean, the last couple of seasons, he had that torn Achilles tendon. He had that torn rotator cuff. Yeah. I mean, those are very difficult injuries and surgeries for an athlete to come back from, particularly in his mid-30s. And what did you think? I know we have some highlights from the press conference. What did you think when you heard that he had announced his retirement in a poem?
I was very happy. He wrote a poem. And by the way, it's not just a poem. It's two basketball.
Yes,
in general.
Two basketball, right. Yeah.
It's a love note, really, is what
it is. Wouldn't it be interesting if this became the new way that news is disseminated?
I would love that.
When President Obama gets up and gives a speech now, it has to be in a poem form. When you tune in to see the nightly news at 6, it has to be in poem form. They have to do all the stories like a poem. Well, I don't think that's likely to happen. We will get to the poem in a second. But let's see what Kobe had to say after the game last night in his post-game press conference where he took questions from the media about his retirement.
I don't want to do this anymore, you know, it's, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, once I accepted that, then it became time to just let everybody know. I mean, why not? I mean, it's just, you know, it takes a load off my shoulders and everybody else's, and I think it's just the right thing to do. I honestly feel good about it. I really do. I mean, I really feel at peace with it, and, you know, excited for what's to come, honestly. If I had a burning desire to continue to play, I would. You know, I wouldn't be second-guessing it. I wouldn't be on the fence. I feel very solid, honestly, you know, in sitting and meditation for me. My mind starts drifting. It always drifted towards basketball, always. Always. Yeah, it doesn't do that now. It does that sometimes. It doesn't do that all the time. And to me, that was really the first indicator that, you know, this game is not something that I can obsess over for much longer. Once I decided I wanted to speak to the game itself, which sounds really weird, but I've never actually spoken to the game. You know, it's always been to the fans or been to teammates or, you know, things of that nature. But never actually told the game how I felt. And once I decided to write it from that perspective, then the words just came in a matter of minutes. I mean, I've had so many great times, right?
I gotta tell you, it's a poem to basketball. Still struck me as a little weird. Dear basketball, ever since I was a kid, I loved you. I'm obsessed with you. It seems weird, but the part of the poem that I loved was, this season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. That's well said.
Well, and it also can't be much fun for somebody as competitive a guy as Kobe Bryant is to go out there every night and not only lose, but to lose in part because you're not contributing. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Last night he had the chance to tie it again. He had the chance to tie it up with 6 seconds left and threw just a big air ball, you know. And,
yeah,
and I'm sure he walks away from that going, oh, man. That hurts.
I wonder if it would be different. I don't know if it would be different timing, but the announcement of it might be different. If the team was great and they were battling for a championship,
oh, for sure.
And they just needed him to help.
For
right.
sure.
Right.
It's a
right.
whole different story, but they, yeah. they don't. They need him to carry them, and that's not going to even get it done. So, yeah.
Did you see what happened to the ticket prices for what they think will be his last game in April now? They're just through the roof.
I just imagine so, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think they went from 100 and something to 500 and something over the, you know, the course of 15 minutes.
I'm a huge Kobe Bryant fan, and I understand there's a lot of downside. He's not that great of a team player. He has problems with different people, but you can't really separate the bad from the good. Everybody has bad and good. Mm-hmm. But he was and is a legend and played his entire career for the Lakers. That almost never happens.
Yeah, you can't say anyone worked harder than
right.
Kobe. He's out there hours before the game. He's out there hours after the game.
Here's a little bit more of the press conference.
So many great times, right? I see the beauty in not being able to blow past defenders anymore. You know what I mean? I see the beauty in getting up in the morning and being in pain and because I know all the hard work that it took to get to this point. So I'm not sad about it. I'm very appreciative of what I've had. The coolest thing is the messages that I receive from other players. Right? And they say, you know, thank you for the inspiration, thank you for the lessons, for the mentality. And those things are the things that honestly mean the most to me. And, you know, it's that respect from the peers that you just really, there's nothing in the world that can top that. I mean, I just, the fact that I'm talked about in the company with Magic and, you know, Cap, and you know, I've made it. That's enough for me, man. I was a Laker diehard growing up. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's good enough for me. And I've just been extremely fortunate. I mean, how many kids can say growing up, you know, that, you know, you turn pro, you're going to play for your favorite team in the world and spend your entire career there? I mean, it's been a dream. LeBron and them, they're the old guys now. And I'm way older than them. Right? So they're vets. I'm like a triple vet. You know, and it's fun, honestly. I remember we were playing Portland here, kid from the bench said something to me. He said, hey, you know, we're going to beat you guys tonight. I looked at him. I said, you know, I got one rule. If you weren't born when I started playing, you can't talk trash. It's a simple rule. And he just looked and, yes, sir.
By the way, how relaxed does Kobe sound?
Yeah.
How long has it been in a press conference where it sounded like he was happy to be there and having a nice time?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he just is so comfortable with that decision, and that's good. I mean, he knew it was time to go, and it is time to go. And I think this season is now going to be a lot more fun for Lakers fans because you're not playing for a championship. You know, you're just playing for the opportunity to see Kobe one last time and say goodbye.
Was, and to lose. You want to lose, too, as well.
That's right. So.
Yes, because we need a higher draft
okay.
pick, right?
All
Are
right.
we all together on that? We want to lose, right?
Okay.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Ralph, you've been in touch with Klecky. What's his complaint about his appearance on The Kevin and Bean Show last week?
People were coming at him. They were yeah. attacking Klecky.
Kind of mean. He was just trying to give away tickets.
He's a sensitive chicken. He's an artist. And, you know, he's got
Do you think Klecky was mad or hurt?
I think he was hurt.
Hurt.
Oh, okay. I think he brought it, and people did not get a lot of the clues that he gave.
I didn't get any of them.
And I think he's looking for a shot at redemption.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we would like to offer Klecky the chance to cluck some hits of artists who are going to be performing on night number 2 of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. It's coming up fast, December 13th at the Forum. If you'd like to play with Klecky, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1060. There he is now. Hey, Klecky. Cluck, you stick around after the showbiz beat. We'll give you a chance to talk to some listeners and give away some tickets to Acoustic Christmas, okay? Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Play the game next. Luke Robitaille joins us in the 7 o'clock hour as well. First, though, time for the showbiz beat.
Luke Robitaille will come in to give charity away to many different peoples.
Not that French.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
You did a little bit.
We have lots of peoples who need lots of things.
Nope.
And so we give them ice skates and many pads for them to protect themselves on their legs.
That's not what he sounds like at all, no.
Everybody gets a puck for the holidays, and we're looking forward to give everyone happy pucks for them.
That's not what's happening.
Here early. I wasn't expecting this.
That's not how he sounds.
It is Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2 still dominating the box office. $51.6 million made it to one. Once again, over the weekend, Good Dinosaur came in at number 2. Lots of kids going to movie theaters over the long Thanksgiving box office weekend. $39.2 million in its debut. Then Creed, the latest in the long history of Rocky Balboa films. $30.1 million in its debut.
Well, if I agreed with you that there were some great moments there where they used the music just sort of as a flashback to some of the older movies, and it was just great.
It was a ton of homage to the original films. I think almost too much.
Do you?
I think it kept it from being a great film. A lot of people are saying it's a great film. I think it's a really good film with tremendous performances and excellent direction. But, boy, it borrows a ton from the first film especially, and I felt like, I think I would have preferred to see it maybe go a little bit of its own direction. You know?
Yeah, I can see that. But the original, maybe they were thinking, you know, a lot of people hadn't seen, and this is...
Right.
So a lot of people didn't know that first one. So that's just sort of a nod to people who had seen it. But to people who hadn't seen it, they wouldn't recognize it.
Yeah. I think if you're going to make a Rocky film, and you've got the son of Apollo Creed being trained by Rocky, you're automatically sucking any sort of suspense or tension out of the storyline, because what are the odds he's not going to do well?
Yeah.
And the Rocky films, much like the Bond films, in my opinion, are always best served when they've got a really good bad guy in them,
really good villain.
Apollo Creed, one of the greats for the first two films, and you got Clever Lang and Drago. I mean, always have these classic... enemies, you know, opponents for the character to go up against. And I thought Conlon in this film was kind of lackluster and sort of superfluous in the film.
Right.
I think the key is to teach actors to box rather than to try to teach boxers to act is the way to go.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
If Tommy Gunn taught us nothing in the Rocky franchise, it's like, don't try to get boxers to act.
If
Mason Dixon taught us anything. But other than that, real good film, obviously. Spectre was 4th. The Peanuts movie was 5th. The Night Before, 6th. Secret in Their Eyes, Spotlight, Brooklyn, and The Martian rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of number ones, Adele's new album, 25, has sold now almost 3.5 million copies from last Friday to Thursday, according to Nielsen Music. Billboard.com says it's the first album ever to sell more than 3 million units in 1 week.
Wow.
Ever. In the history of them keeping records.
Wow.
Naturally, that makes 25 number one again this week.
I think you were out of the room when Kevin told us, Ralph, that he bought a copy at Target, and it was the first time in how long since you'd bought a CD?
I don't know. 10, 12 years.
Wow.
I just don't buy CDs. You just get them on iTunes or whatever.
Yeah. And I bet there were a lot of people who this was their first release of the year that they bought.
In the top 100 albums chart, 25 has sold more copies than number 2 through number 87 combined.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Just to give you some perspectives.
So is that good?
It's pretty good.
Okay.
So.
All right, good.
Adele's popular?
And a little residual bump for Adele. Her previous album, 21, is now back in the top 10 at number 9.
That's a good album, too.
So people are digging on Adele. So
did you see, Ralph, that she announced
a tour? I know.
In the spring? How about that?
Yeah. I don't know what the tickets are going to cost, but I'm getting one. Just one.
Just one?
Just one. Just sit there by myself.
You can't afford to.
Just look at them with sulk. This sucks. I'm going to try to be grumpy and ruin other people's nights. And Santa Claus. Oh, Santa. As if things aren't bad enough in the world right now. We have trouble.
What happened right now. What happened with Santa?
In the world. Santa, he's turned. He's gone to the dark side. Santa has decided to upgrade from a sleigh to a helicopter, as we know from the classic song, Santa Claus in a Helicopter.
Sure, by Wing.
Sure. By Wing.
Right. Greatest song ever. Right.
Apparently, police in Brazil are looking for Santa. He rented a helicopter from a helicopter taxi service for what he called a Black Friday surprise. Santa boarded the helicopter with the pilot and then, at gunpoint, forced the pilot to land the helicopter on a small farm outside Sao Paulo where there was an accomplice waiting. They tied up the pilot and stole the helicopter.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Police are still looking for the suspects and the helicopter. Elves are being rousted, apparently, throughout Sao Paulo. People just busting
the usual
down
suspect.
Doors. Yeah, they're trying to, you know, because, you know, who's going to help Santa more than an elf?
Santa Claus!
Stolen. Remix. Breaks my heart. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chrissy Teigen, 30 years old today, as is Kaley Cuoco. Alicia Cuthbert's 33. Robert Kirkman, Walking Dead creator's 37 years old today. DJ Steve Aoki is 38. Ryan Murphy and Ben Stiller both turned 50. Billy Idol, 60. And actor Mandy Patinkin celebrates his 63rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're
listening.
Right.
Nice. I know that one. Hey, Clucky, you ready to give away some tickets for night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Christmas 2015? All right. Here's the way it's going to work. 1-800-520-1067. Clucky will cluck some hits. All you have to do is tell us what song. Now, are we looking for a song by title and artist? Is that what we're looking for? Title and artist. Okay, so you identify the title and artist of the song that Clucky is singing. It will be something you will hear if you win the tickets for night number 2. Hit it, Steve.
Now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's pet chicken, Clucky. The most talented chicken in the world. The only chicken that can sing
Acoustic Christmas Night 2 Band
songs for you. If you can identify the song
and the band,
you just may win those tickets. Take it away, Clucky.
Now, Clucky, you were a little upset after last week. What went wrong? Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Well, was a lot of complaining. Mm. That sounds like it was more on them than on you, though, right, Clucky?
Yeah, but they were blaming you.
All right. Let's meet our first contestant. By the way, do you say hi to the girl, Clucky?
Hi, girl.
who's our first contestant, Clucky?
Oh, sure. Nestor and Chino.
Yeah.
Hi, Nestor.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm good.
All right, night number 2. We need the artist and the song title. Here we go.
That sounds familiar, Clucky. What do you think, Nestor?
I'd just like to say, if you don't get it, you need to stop listening to our show.
Yeah. It's X's and O's by L. King.
There you go. All right. All right.
Well done. You are in the drawing. Who's... Okay, we move on now from that one, Clucky. Who's our next contestant, please?
Yes, Cruz in Anaheim. Right. Hi, Cruz.
How's it going, guys?
Very good. Thank you. You ready?
Yeah.
Hit it, Clucky.
Bark, bark, bark. Bark, bark, bark. Bark, 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 bark. Bark, 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 bark. Bark, bark, bark. Bark, bark, bark.
Oh, fate had you, Clucky. That band would still be together. What do you think there, Cruz?
Is it Panic at the Disco?
Clucky, it's okay. By the way, Cruz, Bean gave you a hint by saying the band would still be together.
Yeah, it was Soundgarden, Black Hole Sun is what Clucky was singing.
Black Hole Sun.
All right, sorry about that, Cruz. By the way, Clucky, a little poop came out as you were yelling at us there, so please be careful with that if you would. All right, who's our next contestant?
You know, I understood that.
Yeah, chickens on.
Who's next?
Who's up next?
Yes, Stephanie in Woodland Hills. Hi, Stephanie.
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Say hi to Clucky.
Hello, Clucky.
All right, let's hear what hit Clucky is going to be doing for you here. Title and artist, please. What? Say it again.
Okay, it's Fall Out Boy's Dance Like Uma Thurman.
You are in the drawing. Well done, Stephanie. Who's up next, Cluck?
Janelle in Anaheim. Yes. Hi, Janelle.
Hello.
All right, Janelle, again, this is a song you will hear if you win tickets for night number two. By the way, this also includes, I don't know if we mentioned this, Bud Light backstage passes to night number two as well. If you win, so good luck.
I played last week, and I got it right, so I'm hoping I get it right, and I get the tickets this time.
All right, Tyler and Artis, good luck.
Oh, no.
And song title, please.
No.
Nothing coming to you.
Your hands in the halls of my
sweater. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was neighborhood. Thank you.
Sorry. All right, one more, Clucky. Final contestant.
You're rushing things here, Bean. You're not enjoying this? Who's next? Kathy and Pico Rivera. Yes. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
I think Clucky's kind of sweet on you, Kathy.
Well, good. Tell Clucky to give me a good one.
He'll give you a good one, he says. All right. Listen up, title and artist. Take it away, Cluck.
By the way, if Luke Robitaille doesn't hear that and turn around, he's doing the wrong thing.
All right, what say you, Kathy?
Of Monsters and Men, Little Talk.
Yes.
All right, you are one step closer. Kathy, Stephanie, Nestor, all in the drawing. Only one will win tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. And backstage passes courtesy of our friends at Bud Light. Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Stephanie.
Stephanie, yay! Congratulations.
Yay!
You won.
Yay, thank you.
Thank Clucky.
Go, Kings, go.
Right.
That was Clucking the Hits. We had a cluck of a good time. If you didn't, then cluck off.
Greatest left wing in the history of the league, Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille.
I remember playing my first game at the LA Forum thinking, man, this is it. I made it.
Shot.
Robitaille shoots. He scores!
scores, and that's what he's done for 17 years.
And Robitaille again, he scores! Luke Robitaille!
Luke Robitaille just caught the goaltender sleeping.
My name is Luke Robitaille.
All right, this is not a euphemism, but it's a serious question, Luke. On your way into work sometimes, you ever stop and polish your statue?
No,
dear. No, but I was just thinking, I got to get this intro.
On my way to work. How you walk into a room? We can give it to you. You have it on your phone, and then you just play it when you walk anywhere.
All right, thanks.
You see your statue on the way in? Is it on your path as you head to the office?
It's not, but actually, the other day we had a meeting. We used to always have meetings, and you know, when we have a meeting at Staples, we'd say, let's meet at a Gretzky statue. So we were meeting with the owner of the Islanders, and they were like, someone says, let's meet at a Gretzky statue. I go, whose statue? I emailed everyone.
Just make everybody, every meeting from now on is in front of your statue.
Well, listen, Luke, we got a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about. It's always a pleasure to see you, sir. It's a real honor that we can consider you a friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. So thank you for coming
it's
in.
Great
and we
got
some great charity stuff we want to talk about from some events this week. But I want to start by saying the big news out of your building yesterday was the Kobe retirement. And as a guy who had to make that same decision when it was time to walk away from the game that you grew up playing and you grew up loving, what do you think that was like for him? Tell me what his last few days have been like.
I think it's hard. I mean, but when your play starts going down, you know, when you're an athlete like Kobe, and he knows, like, any time the game was on the line for years, he took that shot. And I think when you get a DN like that, you just can't take those shots, and nothing seems to work. You have to come at peace with it. And I have a feeling it's probably going to take him another week, but after that, he's probably going to enjoy this last year better than anyone. Because suddenly, when you're an athlete, sometimes you worry about everything. You know, you're upset, you're not feeling good a certain day, you're sitting in a room, but when it's your last year, you got to really enjoy those last memories, which is about being in the locker room, being with your buddies, you know, the training, everything suddenly becomes a lot easier, and it's a lot of fun. I know for me, once I was at peace with it was going to be over, it was probably the most fun I've ever had, because I was just, nothing was bothering me. I was enjoying my teammates and everyone around.
So the pressure is off of him in the game too, right? Because people know he's leaving. He can just go out there and just have fun and maybe even play better because he's not worrying about everything so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that he has a few games this year where, you know, people see him the way he was like a few years ago. And I'm sure like the Lakers fan are going to enjoy watching him this for the last time.
This sort of sucks for me because I'm a Lakers fan, but they're not going to make the playoffs and go on a run. So basically...
So now you're not, really.
No, I am. But I'm saying so.
I think he's a realist, Luke.
Okay.
So basically, it's almost like a goodbye tour as much as anything, because you're not worried about, you know, winning.
He's one of those few players that he deserves that. You know what I
he
mean?
Does.
The
he
way
does.
He's
yeah.
played and what he's done
does
in
it,
his career.
Does it make it more difficult on a guy like that whose drive is crazy strong, maybe one of the strongest drives ever, and he's had slumps through his entire career, and you go, I can do it. I can come back from this. Does that make it more difficult now that he's...
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's not fun for him to not have good nights, you know, but...
Do you know him at all, Luke?
No, I mean, enough to say hello and, you know, and when I see him, but that's it, yeah.
I wonder what a guy, and he made reference to this in the press conference last night too, what does a guy like that do with the second half of his life? It doesn't sound like, at least as of now, that he has plans to go into coaching or ownership. It sounds like he's ready to walk away from the entire game.
Yeah, it's like, who knows? You never know with some guys. I mean, I remember when Gretzky said he'd never coach. And next thing you know, he was behind the bench coach. Yeah. And I was like, really? And so you really never know because, you know, like your whole life when you play a professional sport, you've been playing that sport. You're 8 years old. You're just doing that. And you're only thinking about the game. And, I mean, I know Kobe's done a lot of stuff off the field where he's got some businesses. But it's not like you really think that, you know, it's not the same. Once the game is over, suddenly reality hits you. And you got to pick something that you love because, you know, you still got to live another 40, 50 years, hopefully.
How do you think he'd be as an announcer?
Well, he could do really, really good, like on a morning show, maybe.
If he wants my job, he can have it.
Did you know you wanted to stay working in hockey even after you hung up?
I wasn't sure. I mean, I really wasn't sure. And then, but when it happened, it was the right thing at the right time. And, you know, for me, like, I love the LA Kings. So it was, it just happened to be the right situation at the right time.
This is the voice of our friend Luke Robitaille here on the Kevin Beach Show. Speaking of the LA Kings, let's talk about Saturday night. It is, and people are really, this 3-on-3 overtime is the greatest thing in sports, right?
I didn't think I could love the NHL more. Yeah. I love 3-on-3 overtime like it's my job. It is the greatest. Do you love it?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great thing. It's my wife hadn't seen a game, and she'd been gone out of town, and she was at the game Saturday, and she just couldn't believe it, how much fun it was in the third period and in overtime. But this 3-on-3 is so different. It's something no one's ever seen. And oh, there's another fact, too, that we've won every 3-on-3 so far. So they're a lot more fun for us. You know, but it's spectacular. I mean, it's up and down all the way. And it's a great thing that the NHL's done.
Do you sort of wish, in hindsight, as a scorer, that you would have had a chance to play in 3-on-3s?
Well, you know, I think every player that's played the game is like watching this go, man, that would have been fun because there's so much opening and there's so many holes. And, you know, if you read the game well, you're able to.
Stop it.
You just, what did I do?
Not you, him. Keep going.
Fine. Go on.
You were good. I said holes?
Yes.
I let so many holes go by. I'm sorry, Luke. I'm 11. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, so 3-on-3 is one thing. Let's talk about beating the Blackhawks after being down 2-0. Uh-huh.
That was awesome. It was one of those games, though, that we were playing well the whole game, and it just happens that those are two of the best teams in the NHL. It reminded me a lot of 2 years ago when we beat them in Game 7. Every game was so close, and I thought we were playing really well, and you kind of know if you keep playing like that, things are going to happen. You never know it's going to be that night, but you know it's just going to happen, and suddenly in the third period, we got our breaks and we scored, and it sure was a lot of fun for our fans.
Luke, put a letter grade on the Kings' season so far.
I would say we're like, you know, we're happy where we're at. We're first in our division, but we always feel we could be better. I mean, we talked about our goal is to win the Stanley Cup. So what's important for us is to get in that in the playoffs, in the tournament, like our coach says. And but our goal is to win the Stanley Cup. So we feel that we're playing the way we need to play to win the Cup. But at the same time, you want to make sure you're getting some points, you're in first, but you want to make some room. You want to create ground. So, you know, if there's injuries after Christmas, you know, you never want to take it easy. But things are going to happen. It's a long season. But I would say it's an A.
Not an A plus.
It's an A.
All right. Great. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Kevin, why don't you tease what we're going to be talking about next? Because it does involve the fans getting a chance to hang out with Luke and other Kings players.
The LA Kings charity is the Kings Care Foundation, and they're teaming with our charity, Friends and Helpers, for an event on Wednesday where Luke is going to be. You can meet him, and, you know, I don't know what they can do. Take pictures.
Could do. Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
Then. Yeah, we could talk about.
And then we'll come. It's at the
about Kobe's future in the morning show.
It's at the El Segundo Toyota Sports Center where the team practices, and it is this Wednesday, the 2nd, from 4 to 7 p.m. And we'll take a break and come right.
President of Business Operations of the Los Angeles Kings, Luke Robitaille, in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Luke, Kings do an awful lot in the community. A lot of charity outreach from your club, right?
Yeah, it's a. It's important for our guys to know to give back, and we feel that our guys are very fortunate. They get to live their dream, and they should understand that they can make a difference. And this is something as an organization, actually the entire AEG company is that way, where everybody should give back. And, you know, it's sometimes like we're so fortunate to do what we love, and when we could give back, we think it's very, very important to understand what you're doing too.
So, Kevin, how did it happen that your charity and the Kings charity are hooking up this year?
Well, Friends and Helpers is the name of the charity that my wife and I run. It's for abused women and children. And in the holidays, a lot of times, women and children have to flee their homes, run to a shelter, and then they get food and they get housing and they get some kind of training so that they can get a job and all that kind of stuff. And so we try to provide a holiday for everybody, and we just ask the Kings if they would be interested in helping. And they came back and they said, yeah, what do you want? And we were like, well,
I'd like to play. Could I play? could you put me in, coach?
Introducing left winger Kevin Ryder.
Could I play?
No.
No, 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 that's how. Come that's on. Not part of charity.
So we're going to do it at El Segundo Toyota Sports Center, which is where the Kings practice, and it's a Wednesday from 4 to 7. It's a get a new toy and bring it and drop it off. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get as many toys as we can for these shelters. Not just for this holiday season, but all of there's 17 different shelters that we work with. And, you know, people come and go all the time. So they always have a need for this kind of stuff. And the Kings were nice enough to say, let's do it at our practice place. And some of us will show up. Luke's going to show up. I think you're going to be there from 4 to 5.
That's right.
Right.
With you, by the way, because your wife said you would be there with me.
I think Colossal is pulling the strings on all of this, by the way.
For the record, we're not doing it for Kevin. It's really for his wife.
It's always for his wife.
I think everyone knows that, Luke. Yeah, so I'm going to be there. Luke's going to be there. We're going to try and get some of the other players there if possible. We're going to try and get, you know, as many people as we can. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of people from our staff. The ice crew is going to be there. Bailey is going to be there. So we're going to make it fun. But at the end of the day, come on by and drop some toys, and we'll make sure we take really good care of you.
Now, I know, Kevin, when we've spoken with Melissa in the past about friends and helpers at the holidays, you do a lot of things where you can adopt a family, you can adopt a stocking that has, you know, various items in it that they might need.
Right.
This is different? This is just toys you're looking for?
Well, there's actually four different things. One is adopting a family, and we have people who have adopted all the families. However, probably 10% of them just end up, for whatever reason, not being able to come through. So we can still use some more people adopting families if that's what you want to do. But we also have stockings for kids that you can sponsor, and that's for $25. And then we have a women's bag that you can sponsor as well so that we can give these to all of the different people. And then we're asking people to bring down toys specifically for this particular drive, new toys, and bring them down and just
A lot of different ways you can help. Yeah. Which, I hate to ask, Kevin, but which toy are you most excited about seeing at the Kings practice facility on Wednesday?
Which toy?
Yes. Because I'm sure you're going, hey, I'll use that one. Hey, that one's for me. I'll take that
my
one.
Stocking.
I'm not going to say on the air that I take toys people donate.
Okay, all right. So the official story then is that all the toys go to the families and kids that need them.
Yes. No. By the way, that's one of the things that I'm most proud of this organization that my wife runs, is that it's 100% of the proceeds go to the actual people who need it. Most charities, mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, Luke. Probably you run a charity, so you may. The IRS says that you have to give out 5%. That's their limit. You can use 90.
Is that true?
Yes, you can use 95% of the money raised for overhead and a building and staff.
Salaries.
It's insane. We saw that. We were like, "Are you crazy?"
But Friends and Helpers is 100%.
Yeah, it's 100%. So if you buy a new toy and bring it down to this practice facility, it will go to a shelter and it will be given to a person.
So what you're saying is you will not play with the toy. 100% of the toy will go to the kid.
Right. See what you started being.
Just want to make sure that we were clear.
What if somebody brings down something really cool and I ask them, and then I play for it?
100%.
But then I play with it. But then I rewrap it like it's real.
It's not 100%. Come on, Kevin.
It's got to be new. Got to keep it new, Kevin. Come on, we want you on the record saying you're not going to monkey with any of the toys.
I'm the quality tester.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's all.
Oh, okay.
It's a job that I don't want to do it.
There are many Friends and Helpers events coming up. You can go to friendsandhelpers.org to get the details on something that's near you. But in particular today, we want you to know El Segundo Toyota Sports Center is going to be LA Kings practice facility this Wednesday. Is it Wednesday?
Yes.
Second. Yeah. Starting at 4 o'clock to meet Kevin and Luke and other Kings players and coaches that will be stopping by that cannot be named at this point. By the way, Luke, I wanted to ask you this because you brought up Bailey. How many different guys you got in the Bailey suit?
What? What do you mean suit?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Bailey's a lion, you freak.
And he believes it. Do you know how long it took us to train a lion to do all these tricks? I mean, we had this ready for 10 years.
I am really impressed, Ned. Now,
is Bailey aware of the power that he wields with that drum that he smashes and scares the living crap out of everybody in the section?
He always scares us. That's in our section.
It gives me a heart attack every time.
No, he's aware. He's aware.
He knows what he's doing.
He makes sure he watches the game and he knows what's going on. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen often. My favorite thing about Bailey is if we're up by 4 or 5 goals and there's about 3 minutes left because he never wants to jinx us. And he brings his fat lady singing suit out. I just love that.
And by the way, he has got to be, and I didn't realize he was a real lion, and I apologize for suggesting otherwise. He has
insulting.
Got to be one of the best sports mascot tweeters in the business.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very and impressive.
And it's really hard to, you know, print with those paws.
He doesn't have opposable thumbs.
Think about that. I mean, it's a lot of work for him.
I approve of the effort you're putting into this story.
Luke is a goer. You got to give him credit for that. All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. Kevin, friendsandhelpers.org, that's where you go for details on the event on Wednesday. Luke, anything else you want to mention coming
that's
up this season
guys.
Or anything else going on with you? You cool?
No, I'm very cool. Yeah.
There's a home game tomorrow night, Thursday night, Saturday.
Big game tomorrow night, the big game Saturday, big game Sunday. I'll say hello to my wife. She's listening.
Yes, is she?
Hey.
Stacia, hi. Hi, baby.
Oh, was that? Wait. No. Hey, no. I think that was for Luke to say.
You're having a tough morning.
My bad.
Oh, Luke, I always have a tough morning. I always have a tough morning. That's sort of my role.
Luke, great to see you, sir. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, great to see you guys.
Thank you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Well, we're also going to talk about a movie. I'm sorry, a TV show, too. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So, Robert Kirkman's birthday today, so thought we'd play that tribute to him.
Kevin. God damn it.
It's amazing he ever came back on the show.
Isn't it? It sure is.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin had never seen the show. Didn't know the graphic novel. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's the greatest movie. And the graphic novel, Robert Kingsman.
He's a big Robert Kingsman fan.
Gimpin' on show.
We were in Las Vegas, and I hadn't stopped.
That makes a difference.
And I hadn't stopped drinking quite yet at that point.
Right.
So.
If that had been the only time you ever did that kind of thing.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't make mistakes.
Oh, I was drunk. We'd say, oh, that's an excuse. But you say that as if it couldn't have happened this morning.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
After you've met him 100 times. Right. That same thing could have happened.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't think that's what you're saying at all. I think it's what I'm saying.
Oh, right.
I think you're saying the opposite of that.
Hey, Andrew Siciliano is coming in the next hour to recap the NFL weekend for us. Very excited about that. Rob's here now. Time for the show. He's been on a Monday morning. What's going on?
You going to be all right, Allie?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Looking forward to next Sunday's Patriots game.
How come?
Patriots Eagles.
Oh.
Show those Patriots what's for. Teach them a lesson. They're only favored by 2 touchdowns.
And that's with no one playing.
That's with
but
no
that's
one playing.
Okay, that's okay, Ralph.
That's with walk-ons.
I don't think the Eagles will score 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So the Patriots just have to score 2.
Your team has not been on fire this year.
If you mean they're giving up the average of 45 points per game for the past 3 games, well, there's that. That's not a good thing.
That's a terrible thing. It's not as bad.
It's record-setting. We set a record this season.
You lost to the Dolphins.
That happened. But just by 1 point.
Doesn't matter.
As opposed to the Lions, where we lost by all points.
It's been a rough season for
Bucks,
you, man.
And the Bucks, all points.
That's been a rough season. And you think your owner is going to stick with Chip Kelly for another couple of years?
No, not in a couple of years. I think he's going to give him one more season.
Okay.
Because Jeff Lurie is a softie and is notorious for letting people hang around longer than they should. He kept Andy Reid about 3 seasons longer than he should have. I think he'll give Chip another season. To dismantle the franchise.
Hey, we wouldn't still have this radio show if there weren't people who were willing to give folks too much time to fail, right?
Right.
Right.
But if there's you're a head coach of a football team in the NFL, I think you expect
But
a
there is
more.
Something freeing about knowing that your team is a lost cause.
Then you
takes,
don't have to worry.
It takes the angina away every Sunday.
The what?
The angina.
Oh.
The heart
Got
pains.
It. Yeah.
Where you're desperate. Oh, if we win this one, then maybe we're going to go. No. You have none of that.
Yeah, you don't want any of that nasty hope.
I'll just watch. Just watch, and I'll eat, and I'll drink, and then I'll go do something.
Then
else.
I'll drink some more.
And they're from Canada.
Yes, right, Rodney. Once again, you've crystallized our thoughts perfectly. Can we get Rodney to do sports?
That'd be awesome.
In the morning? Be the best.
Love it.
All right, it's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise here. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. Still owning the box office. $51.6 million made over the long holiday weekend. Good Dinosaur did very well for itself. Almost $40 million in its debut. Creed was third. The hair over $30 million. Spectre fourth. The Peanuts movie was at number five. The Night Before was sixth. Then Secret in Their Eyes, Spotlight, Brooklyn, and The Martian rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Speaking of Peanuts, Charlie Brown Christmas will mark its 50th anniversary tonight.
How are you going to celebrate, Ralph?
Oh, you know me. I throw the big Charlie Brown Christmas party. Mm-hmm. I get the weak-ass tree.
Right.
And then I...
you have to get it from Ellie's house.
Yeah, go to Ellie's house, get a weak-ass tree.
Right.
And then I usually find some clinically depressed child and bring him over, shave his head, put him in a yellow zigzag sweater, and then we all mock him.
Sounds fun.
To the point of suicide. And then...
Ralph. Come on.
That's what the story is.
No.
Peanuts is the story of a clinically depressed child who desperately needs medication.
There's no mention of suicide anywhere, though, Ralph.
But he's always right on the cusp. He's always not. Right on the... Charlie Brown's always on the cusp of taking his own life. Just impaling himself on that scrawny tree.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Oh.
What the hell?
Why does anyone give me Christmas cards? Why does everyone hate me? It's a good time for everyone. But to celebrate, there's also going to be a special holiday retrospective called It's Your 50th Christmas, Charlie Brown.
Oh, perfect for you.
It'll be hosted by Kristen Bell. Musical performances by Kristen Chenoweth, Matthew Morrison, Sarah McLachlan. Oh, I hope she does that Dying Dog song she does. That's a good one. That'll make Charlie cheer up. Boys to Men. Boys to Men are going to be at Pentatonix. Oh, this has everything. This special has everything.
Come
you should bring in highlights.
Peanuts.
You should bring in highlights tomorrow, Ralph.
I would, but I'll be dead if I watch that. So I don't know if that's a good idea.
That doesn't sound
so
good.
So for all you Peanuts fans, it's got everything. Everything tonight is, it's all for you. It's all for you, Damien.
Ralph, I know you hate the Peanuts and everything in the Charles Schulz universe.
They're awful. That's the only reason.
But how about the Christmas special?
How about it?
How about the Christmas
why
special?
Why do you keep trying this?
Because I feel like if there's one piece of work that everyone loves, it's the Peanuts Christmas special.
That's not true. Listen.
Did you love it growing up? As a kid, did you love it?
Yes. You know why? Because there were three Christmas specials. And this has been on since 1965, so it became a tradition, so everyone feels compelled to
But don't you think it became a tradition because it's outstanding?
No, it became a tradition because there were three channels, and this was on one of them every Christmas, so everybody had to watch it.
Right, but it still gets gangbuster ratings every year when they put it on now.
Because we've been brainwashed. Because everyone has been brainwashed into believing it's something you need to watch.
Kevin, what are your thoughts on the Peanuts Christmas special? I think it's outstanding television. So you like
it? I mean, compared to Grinch, compared to Rudolph, compared to Frosty,
it does pale in comparison.
It's barely there. Yeah. Barely exists.
I don't hate it with the cartoon hate that Ralph hates it with, but I just am uninterested.
How about you, Allie?
I love it. Can't get enough.
Well,
bring me that
little story. It's your life story.
Oh, so yeah, I walk around with a pube on my head, just like Charlie.
The back? The back. Just all pubes. The back of your hair, all pubes. Friendless. Scrawny tree. I mean, think about it.
You do have a scrawny tree.
Hey, that's my all-season tree. I put up an actual Christmas tree. The all-season tree is relegated to a different room.
We won't know that until the Periscope.
What's really sad is that Charlie Brown is actually doing better than Allie because at least he has a dog.
Wow.
It's true.
This took a turn.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
You could call it an Allie McKay Christmas, and you wouldn't have to change a lick of dialogue from that special. Get Swampy carrying a blanket around, telling her the meaning of Christmas.
Hateful people.
So, there you go. That's going on tonight.
That I would watch.
I'm in.
Let's talk about something happy.
All right?
Something upbeat. Something fun. This Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, it's the return of Hollywood Babylon. It's been like a month since we've done a live Hollywood Babylon show.
No.
Bringing it back to Melrose at the Improv in Hollywood. Kevin Smith and I taking the stage Friday night, 10 p.m. Love to have you come out and join us. There's only a couple left this year.
No!
That guy sits in the front row every week, and we're always happy to have him. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. Click on Hollywood and come out and see us. We're going to be.
No!
No way.
Model Christy Teigen celebrates her birthday today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Kelly Cuoco is also celebrating her 30th birthday. Alicia Cuthbert's 33. As we mentioned, Walking Dead creator Robert Kingsman celebrates his 37th birthday.
Oh, that was a great movie.
It's Kirk. No.
It's great. Show. It's the new TV show, and it's great. Can we play it one more time?
Come on.
It's birthday.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Well, we're also going to talk about a TV show. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
Yeah. That was A Moment with Kevin.
It hadn't debuted yet, right?
Nope.
So when I said it's fantastic.
You had no idea. You thought it was a movie, first of all, and you hadn't seen the TV show. And you didn't know the graphic novel, and you didn't know the guy we were going to talk to.
I think that went well.
But you sold it. You convinced everyone that you loved it.
They were all questions. Robert Kingsman?
Robert is 37 years old today. Steve Aoki's 38. Ryan Murphy's 50. Ben Stiller also 50 today. Billy Idol is 60. And Mandy Patinkin is 63 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wow, Beam is right on that one.
That was a hey. That song calls for a hey.
No, any song calls for a hey. You were right. We were wrong.
Hey, online voting is open now at KRock.com for Miss Double December 2016. A lovely assortment of ladies for you. You can check at KRock.com or KevinandBean.com. Cast your vote for which one you'd like to see represent the Kevin and Bean Show and go to Acoustic Christmas with us and with the Weenie Roast and April Foolishness and Singles Parties and all the good stuff throughout the year. And don't forget the live pageant is going to be, well, this Friday at the Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Get down there early. Bring a new unwrapped toy as the price of admission. And we'll look forward to doing the pageant for you live on stage down there in Fullerton. It's one of our fun events of the year. We hope you can join us. Come out and say hi in person.
Being described for anyone that doesn't know who Carly Simon is and how she plays into this next story.
Carly Simon is still alive, still recording, still active, but she was at the peak of her popularity back in the 1970s. She was a singer-songwriter who has done a lot of songs. You're So Vain is probably the most famous one that people might have heard. She also did a James Bond theme called Nobody Does It Better. But she's written a book, and it's got a lot of people talking because she's telling some stories that we haven't heard before about her very interesting life.
Yeah, and one of them is that Sean Connery wanted to have a threesome with her and her sister.
What?
Go on.
Right?
It doesn't surprise me. I would imagine that Sean Connery in the 1960s, where this story happened, was probably banging everyone. I mean, he was freaking James Bond. Yeah. Wouldn't you think that he would pretty much have his pick of hot and cold running chicks?
And she was 20 at the time. Her sister was 22. So come on.
And she said, don't be ridiculous. And then her sister called him up and went, hey,
I'm in.
They were on a cruise ship, by the way, going from London to New York when this happened. And we thought we'd like to get some more details about this story and find out. Because, you know, a lot of times people have conflicting memories of how it went down. Carly Simon says she declined, but her sister said yes. That's her version of the story. Let's get Sean Connery on the line and find out what he has to say about it. It's been a long time since we talked to our friend, Mr. Connery. Hey, Sean, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Good morning, chuckleheads.
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, I did have a great Thanksgiving. Excellent. Because, you know, being British, I always celebrate Thanksgiving.
I was curious as to why you said that, Kevin.
Nothing's more exciting for an expatriate Scotsman living in Spain than to celebrate Thanksgiving and Squanto sitting down with Pocahontas or whatever the F it is.
I hope you had a great weekend.
Well, it's getting worse.
Okay.
All right. So, Sean, I don't know if you were on hold and heard us, but we were talking about the story that Carly Simon writes in her new memoir, Boys in the Trees. Does it sound accurate the way she described what happened back there in the 1960s
yes,
with you?
Yes, everyone's talking about this story. It's got a lot of play in the press.
Right. Uh-huh.
And frankly, I'm upset that someone of Carly Simon's fame would speak out of turn regarding something that should remain personal and intimate.
Oh, so you think it's uncool that she told this story, even now, 50 years later?
Absolutely. There are some things that should remain private.
Hmm.
And I don't think one should go around speaking about one's sexual adventures with other people, especially when those people are still alive.
I could see that.
All right, so is her version of the story true, though? She turned you down, but her sister, Lucy, she showed up, and you guys did it.
Well, since she's speaking about it, I guess I can say, yes, it's true.
Okay.
I did want to get a Simon Schuster sandwich.
Which
is not easy to say.
No.
Correct.
Not for you.
Simon Schuster sandwich.
Right.
And Carly was seeing someone at the time and passed on the offer.
Okay.
But her sister Lucy did get in touch with me the next night.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept her busy until the dawn of the next day.
All right. Wow. Mm. Now, you were 35 at the time and married, and Lucy was 22 and had a boyfriend.
Yes. But we were at sea. As you know, when you're at sea, none of that matters.
I didn't know that.
Once you're in international waters.
I see.
That means the vagina's open for business.
I didn't realize that.
And the captain of the ship is able to actually participate.
Oh.
And provide towels and lubricants.
All right.
And so Lucy and I spent some time together.
Uh-huh.
And then I sent her back to her cabin, dehydrated and inside out.
just wrecked her, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, yes.
I don't know how you
picked up on my subtle hints. but yes. She was spent and exhausted by the time she returned to her room. She came to me 22. She went back to her room 57 years
ago. Oh, man.
I actually shot her through time.
There was some tough loving involved right there, yes. Wow.
But,
okay.
You know, just it's a fond memory, one of the many conquests I look back on and gives an old Scotsman a wry smile these days when I think about those things.
Uh-huh. Well, I appreciate that you're, as you said at the start of the call, Sir Sean, that you're gentlemanly, though, and you don't like to brag. It took somebody else to bring it up before you would comment on it. I think that's very nice.
I don't speak about my sexual partners, especially the famous ones, usually. But now, apparently, since that cat is out of the bag, maybe it's time for me to start talking about some of the people I've been with.
Go on.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh,
wait, what?
No.
Yes.
You're 85.
Yes, I am.
And she's 23.
And she was twerking on the bagpipe, as we say.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
All right.
Say no again.
No.
Yes.
But no.
I had a five-way with the Golden Girls once.
Oh.
Yes. That is Stel Getty. She was a spinner. Yes. Betty White did all the crank.
Really?
Yeah, she kept doing all our meth. Made me furious.
I doubt that, but okay.
I've had sex with Bruce and Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, wow.
I'm not positive that's possible.
It was possible.
Okay.
First it was Bruce, and then it was Caitlyn.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Different.
Right.
I was in the recovery room. After the surgery and in his room before the surgery.
Okay. My goodness.
Donna Baxter had her.
Well, hey, that's my wife. Hey, wait a minute.
What? I'm surprised. I had a three-way with her and the Dalai Lama at an airport once.
All right.
And just years ago, I got roofied by Bill Cosby, so I got that.
Wow!
Yes, he gave me some scotch.
Uh huh.
And the next thing you know, I woke up sticky.
Well, you've had a busy life, Sir Sean.
I have, and I'm getting busier as we speak, so I have to go.
Okay.
We understand.
Good enough. Thank you.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano has been stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show on most Mondays during the season for years now, and somebody recently said, hey, why doesn't Andrew have an intro? Was it you, Andrew? Are you the one who asked why you didn't have an intro?
It was not, but good morning.
Okay. Hi, good to see you, sir.
Yeah, hey.
And
hi.
So we went to Omar, and we said, what about our boy Andrew? What do you got? And I think he got this.
Andrew Siciliano. Andrew Siciliano,
Browns.
What?
Oh, oh yeah. Ada. Talk about those tackles and tight ends.
What?
Oh. Whoa. Because you know football. Andrew Siciliano.
Okay.
Andrew Siciliano.
Don't turn up the heat in here with us.
Andrew Siciliano. You know football. Yeah. Hike it to me.
Oh, stop. All right, that's not the keeper.
Is that our official keeper?
No,
that's not, that
not the keeper.
I don't mind if you keep that. Just you can fade it early. Can we fade it early?
No.
Before it gets weird and creepy?
Before it gets really weird?
No, because that's the best part.
That's the best part.
Just get it over with quickly. Andrew Siciliano is host of Around the NFL and DirecTV's Red Zone channel, of course, on Sundays. Let's start with something that you tweeted yesterday that was shocking to me.
What is that?
And that is that no team has been eliminated from the playoffs mathematically yet.
I mean, and it's bad math, by the way. And I refuse to explain the math because I can't figure out the math.
Meaning somebody should have been yet, but they're not?
Yeah. I mean, like the Ravens or the Chargers won yesterday and right now blew their shot at the number one overall pick. I mean, there's a lot to go. But there, you would think the Titans, for example, who have only two wins and would be picking number one overall if the draft were this morning, which it isn't.
Right.
They technically have not been eliminated. Now, the scenario for them to make the postseason is inexplicable.
Yeah. Okay.
However, it does exist.
Right. So technically it's possible, but
mathematically, right. And on the other side, no one's actually clinched a playoff spot. There are scenarios in which the Panthers and the Patriots don't make the playoffs. Now, they are absurd.
Right.
But they
It's like
they
75
exist.
Other things have to happen.
It would have to include like 84 ties. Okay? But they exist. Now, if the Steelers had won yesterday.
Right.
They had beaten the Seahawks. The Panthers would have clinched.
Oh, okay.
A playoff spot. Yes.
So that would have been the first
It would have been very easy. If some other things had happened, like the Chiefs had lost or the Jets had lost, then the Patriots would have clinched before they even took the field last night in the snow in Denver.
Right.
But it didn't happen.
So
we head to week 13. Technically, everyone's alive.
Does this speak to the parity in the NFL that we've all wanted? Is that what this means?
I would think there are. I mean, Ralph and I were just talking about this. There are 25 of the 32 teams have 6 wins or fewer.
Wow.
25 of the 32. There are only 5 teams with 7, 8, 9, 10, in Carolina's case, 11 wins.
Who are those 5 teams?
Oh, geez. Okay, so Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Arizona.
Yeah!
That's all. Kevin just wanted to hear you say Arizona.
New England.
I don't need the rest.
Minnesota. And
Green Bay.
There you go. Those are the 5. Everyone else, 6 wins or fewer. Now, there are a bunch of teams in that 4-6 window. I think half the league is in a 4-6 window right there, whatever 4-6 window means.
So a lot of people playing to make the playoffs. When I saw the words first place Washington Redskins yesterday,
Woo!
That was the biggest surprise of the whole day to me.
Yeah. They are in first, and they were 2-4 or 2-5, whatever it is. And now, but they're like the Chiefs. The Chiefs were 1-5.
Yeah, the Chiefs have won five in a row.
Right. Yeah.
So the Redskins are something like, and I'm not making this number up, but I might be one digit off, 1-13 on the road under their head coach, Jay Gruden.
Is that good?
But they're in first. And if they were to win the division, they would have to go on the road because they'd be the fourth and final. They'd be the fourth, the lowest of the. No, they wouldn't. They'd actually get a home game that first one. You're right, because they're a division winner. So, I mean,
look, none of us are following you anyway. So
I'm talking in circles here. But yes, the Redskins are in first,
what
but
are
the Cowboys
odds
aren't eliminated.
The Redskins would win the Super Bowl. That would be awesome.
That ain't going to happen.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
That would be awesome, though, right?
Andrew,
it would be fantastic.
Let's talk about the new and improved, now that they got rid of that dead weight Peyton Manning Denver Broncos. What do you think?
That guy's awful. I don't think he's going to get his job back, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Well, hold on. Allie, first of all, condolences.
I'm fine.
Okay.
No, I had told you last week.
I saw
you
tweet last night, good game, something like that.
Osweiler looked great.
Right.
His last two runs, amazing. The pressure's off. I did not want them to go undefeated. I've made this very clear.
Yeah, that's true. You have said that many times.
Yes.
You've said that. Okay, so look, did he have the greatest game ever, Brock Osweiler? No, not at all. He clearly wasn't in sync with a lot of the guys running around trying to catch the passes in the snow. A lot of them were dropped as well, notably Demaryius Thomas, number 88. However,
they have a great defense. And
they won, and at the end, when given the opportunity, he seized it. Now, if the rookie undrafted free agent Chris Harper doesn't drop that punt, right? Doesn't muff the punt.
Yeah.
Tom Brady has the ball back 21-7, and that game is over. Over, over, over. Except he did drop the punt because the Patriots are signing guys off the street to play wide receiver. And when I say off the street, like living on
literally.
The street. And all of a sudden, then the Broncos get back in the game and they win. There was a questionable pass interference call on Rob Gronkowski as well.
Come on.
The clock issue is not questionable. They actually got that right.
Okay.
I know that didn't make sense, and I know Bill Belichick lost his mind, but they actually got that one right.
I got to tell you, with all the talk of the bad calls and the referees and everything, I'm surprised how often they get it right in real speed, real time. On
rare.
The
it's me just, too. Me
it's
too.
It's amazing to me that they're not wrong almost every play.
I swear to you, I'm not a sycophant or an apologist. If you've stood on the field for a game, even at the college level, right, and see how fast it moves.
Right.
And to your point, how many times they get it right. But when they get it wrong, and all these games are on the national TV, right?
But then you see it all in slow motion from 14 angles.
With HD and with replay, everything has changed. Look at the Martavis Bryant catch. I don't know if you guys were watching. Bean, you were, right? The end of the Seahawks game?
Oh, yeah.
Where the Steelers wide receiver caught that ball on the sideline, and then they reviewed it, and Mike Carey comes on CBS
and
says,
never right.
Sometimes he's not right. Which is amazing, because he's the nicest man in the world, and when he was an official, he was so well-respected.
Right.
I mean, he was the guy you wanted out there for big games. He was classy. He was adamant in his calls. Anyway, he said, I can't even remember. He said, this is a catch, and it wasn't a catch, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then they reviewed it.
He came back and said, I was wrong.
It was a catch, but the player fumbled it for a second before he had complete possession of it and before he went down, right?
It moved.
It moved. I mean, look, it's an impossible job. But since Kevin brought up the officiating, I feel like people have always complained about what's a catch and what's not a catch. But now it seems like the announcers are really turning on the refs on these games. It seems like they are furious at how many questionable calls there are on what's a catch and what's not. Are they going to address that again in the offseason?
Yes.
Is there a solution for it or is there not?
Well, see, that's the question. I don't know that there is a solution.
I don't know that there is.
But they are going to address it. And the commissioner said that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we will look at it again. But the question is, what do you do? If somebody would like to write the rule that can clarify everything, go ahead. Do it. But right now, there isn't necessarily that one clear rule. Now, Mike Pereira, who's our colleague down the road at Fox, used to be a head of officiating. He's awesome.
Right.
And he's Fox's rules guy.
Right.
You know, Mike Pereira's thing has always been, if you take 100 guys at a bar and 99 of them think it's a catch, then it probably should be a catch. The problem is, you can't crowdsource officiating.
Right.
It can't be, hey, everyone, jump on Twitter and tell me whether or not you think that's a catch, and then we're going to put the results up on the scoreboard.
Well, they have a Twitter poll feature now. We could actually do it that way.
I mean, isn't that kind of like the Hunger Games? I haven't seen anything since the first one. But you put it on the scoreboard, catch or no catch?
Yeah.
Right?
I like it. There you go.
Thumbs down in Gladiator. What do we do? Did he catch it or not? And if he doesn't, he must go home.
But then it's just a question of which team has the largest fan base, though. That's
exactly
how it would get decided every
right.
time.
The
so
Cowboys
that's not
and
an
Steelers
answer.
Would get every single call
right.
And they would be 16-0.
But you can take two
and
people who are both experts in officiating who will come up with a different conclusion on some plays. That's the problem.
Yeah.
There is no right or wrong.
High def ruined TV. I'm sorry.
That's
football. And high def ruined football.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. Of course
it's
the dumbest thing, because without it, we don't have jobs.
High def
right.
is awesome.
High def
Andrew
is awesome.
Andrew Siciliano is here, host of Around the NFL at DirecTV's Red Zone channel. We'll take a quick break. More recap of week number 12, I want to say, right after
12.
This on K-Rock.
Andrew Siciliano.
Almost okay. Acoustic.
Huh? What about? Are we booking Omar? No, I don't.
Yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, would that be like the first act before they open the doors, kind of thing? Where no,
okay. No, not even that. No.
Okay.
Andrew Siciliano is our guest, of course, from DirecTV's Red Zone channel and host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network. Hey, how's Andrew Luck doing, by the way?
He has a beard, and he's standing
on
the sideline.
Wait, he has a beard?
When's he coming? When's he coming back?
Don't know. They said 2 to 6 initially. Okay. There's no way it's 2. He has a lacerated kidney.
How great is Hasselbeck?
He's doing well.
How great is Hasselbeck? How old is he? 40, 41?
He is 40 years old. He's the oldest quarterback in the NFL. Wow. He is 19, 18 plus years older than Jameis Winston, the quarterback that his team beat yesterday. When Matt Hasselbeck was drafted, Jameis Winston was 4. He had just turned 4. So the old, hey, you could be my dad. No, he really could.
Yeah.
He absolutely really could. And look, that is not one of those Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler things. As much as we love Matt Hasselbeck, when Andrew Luck is healthy, he will be back on the field.
Right, yeah, no question about that.
Right, because there is – Matt Hasselbeck is great. You break the glass in case of emergency and you bring him out. Even he would admit to you, I don't want to do this for 2 months. All right, this is fun while it lasts. Right. It really hurts to get up tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's doing well.
Yeah,
he's doing well.
What else did you like from yesterday? Surprising Raiders win.
The Raiders won. That was big. They kept their hopes alive. They won on the road. Tennessee has still not won at home this year. Jacksonville disappointed me. I thought they were going to beat the Chargers. Not that I'm rooting against the Chargers, but San Diego broke a 6-game losing streak, so they're now back into it. Adrian Peterson is going to win a rushing title. We really haven't talked about the Patriots' performance.
Right.
Okay.
There is kind of news this morning in that our guy at NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, says it is not thought that Rob Gronkowski's injury is that serious.
That's great news.
They think maybe only a game. There's a chance he might not even miss one game.
If there's anyone in the NFL that might not miss one game, it would be him.
I mean, he's kind of like a huge, like a bear, kind of like going through a village and the townsfolk are scattering.
I'm trying to go with you on this.
Okay.
I mean, he's a bear running, he's going through a village.
Like when he's running through the secondary and people are just falling at his feet, doesn't he? I always think he's like a giant bear running.
Okay.
I mean, you don't see that image anymore.
No.
Okay, I did.
All right.
It sounded really good. And then it came out of my mouth.
He's more
and
of a T-Rex.
Like a giant, like a dinosaur?
Like a T-Rex, but with longer arms so he could hold the ball. Because I don't think a T-Rex could hold the ball.
Or the longer arms so he could push off.
No.
How dare you?
I mean, you walked into
that was not a push-off, and
I don't think it was
it.
A good call.
Pretty
I agree
sweet
with
insult,
you. I don't think it was a good call.
Pretty sweet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do the Patriots have more starters injured than any other team?
Well, in all seriousness, the fact that they've made it this far, the fact that they were undefeated going into last night, is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Because they've lost Nate Solder, Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, Aaron Dobson,
Deion Lewis,
which is huge as well. Then last night, well, they had played the last month without Jamie Collins. Then Dante Hightower, it's allegedly an MCL, which means at least 2-3 weeks there, you would think, as well. No other team in any sport, I don't care what sport it is, could possibly withstand those injuries. Ever. And they have.
Is that because of Belichick?
He does. See, I think the whole hoodie thing, he actually is a Dark Lord.
He's a Sith.
Sure. I support it.
I got to tell you.
The promotion is great.
I found myself in a very weird position where I was standing up for the Patriots because I was with a friend and they were like, Patriots suck. And I was like, look, you can say you hate them, but they don't suck.
They're a great team. But they don't suck.
They use some Jedi mind tricks.
They do. They might, yeah.
Right. The Brady guy's pretty good.
How does anyone have the guts in a Belichick press conference to ask a stupid question, though, knowing the stare down that you're
going
to
receive? What was the stupid question?
How'd you feel when Gronkowski went down?
Yeah, how'd you feel seeing him laying out there on the field like that?
And his response? What do you think?
I saw that. Okay, so that was the question. I mean, look, there are so many. I sit on the couch or I sit in a studio, so I feel sometimes like I shouldn't be criticizing those who are out there actually getting their hands dirty asking the questions in the field.
But press conferences athletes are
like,
worthless.
Honest to God, if you ever stand at a press conference or stand on a field and say, talk about, you should be fired.
So lazy.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Hey, Allie, talk about the game.
I don't want to. That's a stupid question.
Okay.
It's not even a question.
It's a command.
Something.
Yeah.
Never forget, I was like 22. I was covering the Bulls, Jordan, Phil Jackson, that whole team. And somebody after a game said, hey, Phil Jackson, can you, Phil, talk about that 14-2 run in the third? And he goes, no. And that was it.
Can I ask a question about Roethlisberger? He took himself out of the game with a concussion, which is so unlike him. What's going on with that?
Okay, I'm glad you brought it up.
He looks like Frankenstein's monster. He looks like he's made up of a bunch of different parts, and he's just, what is up with that guy?
I think he's John Lithgow and Harry and the Hendersons, personally.
Okay, good enough.
But, so, it's interesting because the Rams took all this heat last week for leaving their quarterback, Case Keenum, in the game when he clearly should have been taken out, and it was deserving heat. Everyone in that situation failed. Team level, the spotter upstairs, the officials on the field, everybody failed. Roethlisberger stayed in 8 or 9 plays last night after sustaining a hit that we now know gave him a concussion. Right. Now, was he down on the field as badly as Case Keenum was last week holding his head? No, but he was slow to get up. I thought he was a little
wobbly.
He looked wobbly.
He clearly got hit hard and was slow to get up. They're right, and I'm not throwing the Steelers under the bus, but good for him. He took himself out of the game. Okay, right. Good for him. He did self-report it.
Right.
That's the system worked moving forward. But I want to go back. I admittedly need to go back and watch those 8-9 plays.
After
there
was hit.
There was no call from above when he was clearly slow to get up that first time. Yeah. His status is now in doubt.
The system's still somewhat broken, even though he went out and said, I need to be taken out.
The system is far better than it has ever been.
Right, right.
There are still things that shouldn't, but do fall through the cracks.
Right.
Clearly.
Right. Andrew, we're out of time. Should we care about Baltimore-Cleveland tonight?
Well, I mean, I was raised a Browns fan.
So, no?
The Manziel thing is, it takes some... Yes, you should care. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, you they...
Why? Talk about that.
Talk about why we should care, Andrew.
Talk about it. Because it's Matt Schaub always looks sad. Matt Schaub, the Ravens quarterback... who is probably sad that he has to play.
Wow.
Always looks sad. I don't know why. Why should? Because these teams have 5 wins combined between them, and
so no,
it's a great rivalry.
It seems like a night to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Is what it seems like to me.
I don't know.
Gotham
Browns
is on tonight.
I don't know. I'm told I'm in that. I'm the mayor.
He is.
You do look like him. Yeah, that's true.
It's just like him.
I don't know that the Browns have ever swept the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't care.
This would be big. This would be big if the Browns were to sweep the Ravens.
Big four.
All right. So
big four.
There are number one draft pick implications tonight. How about that one?
That means you're at the bottom of the barrel.
Andrew,
yeah.
We love you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Mutual. See it.
Andrew Siciliano.
Love it.
Just Captain Obvious, isn't
it's
he?
Stunning.
It's just Captain Obvious.
I just don't take our guests for granted. I'm saying Andrew Siciliano is a great guy.
Right.
Yeah, we all
talk
do.
To him every like, morning. That's all.
We all like him. For years, we've all liked him.
Right.
And not one person has ever said, I don't like that Andrew Siciliano. When he comes in here, that's not a good time.
And when he's in here off the air, we tell him that we like him.
Right.
So then when he leaves, it's weird for you to say,
guys, I like Andrew Siciliano.
That's weird. Because I feel like that's been covered.
I feel like there's room for more positive things in the world, guys. And that's what I'm about, is bringing the sunshine. Bring the sunshine.
How about I'm always impressed by how much insight Andrew has into the game, or that anything that adds to anything, rather than, I like Andrew Siciliano. That's not a thing you need to share.
You guys don't get it. I'll tell you what you do get is that Miss Double December 2016 pageant voting is open right now at KevinDeBean.com. We are going to meet yet another contestant vying to wear the crown. Rosa is going to be joining us just after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Rosa!
Chip, how do you say that?
Rosa.
No, with the trill.
No.
with the rolling of the,
yeah,
of
just
the
roll
arm.
Your, roll your R for it.
Roll the R.
Roll the R.
Hold on, I think I got it this time.
Oh, got it? Okay,
I took classes.
Good. Here we go.
Rosa.
No, you got to roll the R.
Rosa.
That's what.
Yeah,
the...
do that.
No, do this. Do that.
Only that.
Nope.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What?
Zhuzh?
Again?
Zhuzh?
Rosa.
No, Rosa.
I think I got it that time. It was good.
What are you doing?
Chip, cat roller, R's. How can you not do that?
She's special.
Rosa. Oh. Sound like someone had removed her tongue. Rosa. Sounds like a deaf kid saying grosser.
Grosser. Let's just try to play the Jedi mind trick and go, I got it that time.
Yeah, that time I got it. Did you all hear it? Hey, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I bringing Babel back to the stage after a month off. It's been too long. Come on out and see us. Go to the improv.com website and go click on Hollywood Improv and come see us Friday night at 10 p.m.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Hell no.
No. Oh, yes.
No.
Yes.
I refuse. No.
You should.
No.
But you. But.
Nobody gives a crap.
Wow. No way.
Is that Romy?
Wildly inappropriate. Yep. Yeah, it is.
No way.
No, done.
No way.
Not a good look.
Not ever.
Hey, Hunger Games fans, you do all right. With all your going to the movies. Number one at the box office over the long holiday weekend. $51 million for Mockingjay Part 2. Then The Good Dinosaur. $40 million in its debut. A little over $30 million for Creed. Did a very good opening weekend business. That was a great movie, by the way. Really enjoyed it.
It was good.
Was it your John?
He used it correctly.
He did use it correctly.
Wow. Yeah. Didn't pull it off, but he used it correctly.
Was it your John?
He's a computer now.
It's like those IBM commercials where you're talking to Watson. Yeah. Was it your John?
Was it John-erific?
Bob Dylan. I have read all of your lyrics. $30 million for Creed, Spectre, and the Peanuts movie were the top five movies at the box office. The Night Before, Secret in Their Eyes, Spotlight, Brooklyn, and The Martian.
I saw The Night Before, and I got to tell you, it was really funny.
It looked funny to me.
It was really funny.
It looked like it was filled with funny.
So if you have time, maybe this coming weekend, go see that one, The Night Before.
All right.
Back to you. I like Andrew Siciliano.
Kevin's recommendations. Congratulations are in order for Mary-Kate Olsen. Yes, not only is she the girl on all those... big-eyed velvet paintings holding puppies, but she's also a bride. She just married her French banker boyfriend, Olivier Sarkozy. They just had a small intimate ceremony for about 50 guests at a private residence in New York. For the record, he's 46 years old. She's 29. I can't believe the Olsen twins are 29, by the way.
Yeah.
They used to be babies.
And aren't they worth like $500 million?
They're worth $1 billion.
They're billionaires, yeah.
They're billionaires.
And he's got a lot of money, too. Half-brother of former French president Nicolas Sarkozy. And so they're finally getting married. Everybody said for a long time, ugh, creepy old dude with her urine. But apparently it's love. So look at them. Look at them go.
Look at them.
Congratulations.
29-46.
Yeah. Look, we've seen bigger gaps in ages. That's, 16, 17 years?
Mm-hmm. What are Harrison Ford and...
Calista Flockhart?
Calista Flockhart. What's that difference?
About over 20.
Yeah.
Famous one is Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas.
Yeah, they're 25, right?
25 years apart. So, look, love, it's just a number, man. Love doesn't
know. Woody Allen and his daughter? That's got to be at least 25.
Not his daughter. Man, you don't know. And, Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is just the best person ever.
Yes.
Let me tell you what Tom Hanks did while filming in Florence, Italy, recently. He's filming, and he's walking along the, the Rue de Florence, or whatever that main thoroughfare is there.
Right.
Sees a poor woman bawling her eyes out. Because her luggage had been stolen on her honeymoon. She and her new husband, all of their bags stolen. In it, credit cards, passports, what have you. All of it gone. She's there in Florence, Italy, in a foreign country with nothing. No clothes, no money, no documents, no identification. Boom. Tom Hanks comes up. Hey, what's going on? I'm Tom Hanks. She tells him the story.
Oh, it's like a verbatim.
Hanks gets on the phone, gets the couple expedited new travel documents, and puts them up at a swanky hotel nearby and a five-star hotel on his dime.
Oh. How does he get them expedited documents?
He's Tom Hanks.
So he can just call any government agency.
He was on that bridge with those spies.
Right. He was that guy. So he can just call a government agency in any country.
He could call the president of any country, probably.
Right.
Oh, Tom Hanks. He's Tom Hanks. For you, sir.
Yes. Yes.
You don't think he calls up Obama and says, hey, Barry, can you hook me up? I got a little kid here in Florence. She's having a hard time. Can you take care of this for me?
Why, sure.
And then Barry takes care of it, and boom, Tom Hanks runs the world.
Tom Hanks can be trusted with that power too. I think I'm okay with.
Why
him being
isn't
able
he
to...
running for president? Why don't we see Tom Hanks up on the debate stage, taking on Donald Trump?
Because
he is a dick.
No, he's not, Kevin. How dare you?
I thought that's what we were saying.
We're not saying that.
Because he's a liberal Hollywood actor. That's why, and people would hate him if he were.
Sit down. Is that what Donald Trump would say to him?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Mandy Patinkin is 63 years old today. Singer Billy Idol is 60. Ben Stiller's 50. Ryan Murphy's 50. Steve Aoki's 38. Walking Dead creator Robert Kingsman celebrates his 37th birthday.
From the
today.
Movie?
Keep going.
The movie, it's great. The show's fantastic. Robert Kirkman's 37, Alicia Cuthbert's 33, Kelly Cuoco and Christy Teigen both celebrate their 30th birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Give me a little of that theme song. As you know, the voting is now open at KROQ.com or KevinAbean.com. Who will be Miss Double December 2016? Very excited to say it's time to meet another contestant.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
I feel those boobs.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Yeah! Oh, the kids are such big fans.
I love that song.
Little
they
kids.
Love it when that beep is hard.
They love that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. We have a new Miss Double December 2016, and her name is Rosa.
We might have a winner at this point.
How could she not win?
Because at this point, there's still voting going on.
Look at Rosa. How could she not win? Chip, one more time. Let's hear you introduce Rosa with the trill, please.
I hate you. Rosa.
Nope.
Oh, she had a roll. You heard it. It was in there.
No. Rosa, let's hear how you do it. Show Chip how you do it.
Rosa.
See? Look at that.
Do that.
Rosa. She just makes an L.
I thought I was the whitest person alive. I'm not.
Nope.
This is so exciting.
Well, welcome, Rosa. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Yeah, we're happy to have you. Tell me how you came to know about the pageant and enter to be Miss Double December 2016 this year.
Okay. I actually have a few girls that I know that have entered. I know Lux. I know she won about 3 years ago.
Lux is the best, yes.
Brittany.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah, and then as well as Samantha Padilla, which entered last year.
Yes.
She was great.
How do you know so many hot chicks with big boobs?
I work with a lot of them. We work a lot, go-go dancing, modeling, music videos, all in the industry.
Everybody that you know is beautiful, huh?
A lot of people I know are very beautiful.
Huh. Now, are you willing to slum by having some ugly friends if you become a member of the Kevin Amin family? Because I don't know if you've met us, Rosa. We are not, we're not up to your standards.
She wants to say no
I'm
so
not
bad.
Sure
No. You guys are great. You guys have great personalities.
You guys are great, she lied.
She said we have great personalities, Bean. That's good.
Yeah, great personalities is the kiss of death.
Take that.
All right, so you're a dancer?
I am. I dance.
Tell me
professionally.
Where.
Right now I just do wherever I'm booked, any gigs that I audition for, and I book.
Okay.
I go-go dance as well. I go-go dance a lot in West Hollywood and any clubs downtown, L.A., Hollywood, Vegas. I've even done the East Coast, San Francisco.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
You're on the Lux tour. She does the exact same thing.
Yeah, but she's the international, that girl.
And you bartend as well.
I do.
And where's that?
I bartend at Dames and Games in Van Nuys.
Explain what that is to us, please.
That is a topless sports bar. I'm not topless, but we do have topless girls.
A topless sports bar?
Absolutely.
Why have we not heard about this before?
Well, now you have.
Kevin, do you need a minute?
I do. I'm just processing.
You're just thinking?
I'm just processing. Everybody shut up.
And it's in Van Nuys?
In Van Nuys, yeah.
Well, that sounds like
That sounds like heaven on earth.
Yeah.
All right, take it easy.
Sounds like the best place in the world.
It's great. Not going to lie.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Because I'm saying the place sounds good. All right, Rosa, I have been criticized in the past during the pageant time of year for asking questions about the history of the boobs of the women involved. But you kind of brought it up in your questionnaire at KRock.com. Oh, my twins are new and they deserve a crown after all the pain they went through.
Yeah.
Tell me that story.
Okay. So a few years
Talk
ago.
About that.
So my God, where am I? Oh, Jesus.
Might as well go with it.
Okay, so naturally I was a 36C, and then I started working out and losing weight, so I became a 32B. And so I decided to get my breasts done.
And a 32B was just offensive to you, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you go from having, you know, a full size to just, you know, just,
you miss them.
Yeah.
You were barely a woman at that point.
Oh,
so
right,
you're not helping.
No, what?
Well, you know what? I got some double D's now, so it's all good.
You were fine then.
All right. And you've been enjoying them, I take it?
I love them. I love them. Who cannot?
Who could not indeed?
Indeed.
You know,
okay.
You have a whole pageant for this.
We do. That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the most wonderful time of the year. What event on the K-Rock calendar are you most excited about being able to go to if you are Miss Double December 2016?
I'm definitely excited for the Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Okay.
Both good nights. Coming up soon. April Foolishness is always fun.
Yeah.
That's good times.
All right. And what's your talent going to be on Friday when we see you again out in Fullerton for the pageant?
Well, being that I'm a dancer, I'm going to dance.
Right. Sorry.
Do you have your song picked out yet?
I have a few songs. I'm thinking MIA.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Nice. Okay. All right. Anything else we need to know about you before we instruct people to go to krock.com to cast their vote for Rosa to be Miss Double D?
Make the right choice.
Wait, was that a threat?
It got aggressive. Yeah, very sweetly
like
aggressive.
She knows people.
There was a little aggression in there, wasn't there? All right. I'll do what I'm told then.
Okay. All right, Rosa. Well, it was great to meet you. We can't wait to see you again on Friday morning.
Likewise.
The pageant, by the way, is going to be in Fullerton once again this year. Our friends at the Slide Bar down there are kind enough to host us at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen downtown Fullerton. We'll be broadcasting live all morning long. I think we are going to be webcamming again this year. Is that true, Kevin?
Yes,
you're going to be able to see it if you can't be there in person. But if you are coming down, be sure to bring a new unwrapped toy. That is the price of admission to be in the audience as we crown Miss Double December 2016. Thanks, Rosa.
Of course.
You ever thought about going pro?
Like I wasn't?
That's some good clapping right there.
I retire, that's all I'm saying. I retire. My mind used to drift to clapping all the time, but now it doesn't anymore. Now, once in a while, it's still my mind will drift to clapping. But I just, you know.
Have you written a poem about how tough it is to leave clapping?
It's called To Clapping, and Goodbye to Clapping. It's a poem, and you know, the words just came out, man. I'm a storyteller.
Sure. Sure you are. Yeah. Hey, if you can put
douche,
the clapping aside for
a
no, not
you.
No, not at all. He's very passionate about the game that he has loved.
I just don't
want to
do this anymore. I just don't want to do this anymore. You can't do it anymore. You would if you could. Couldn't he be that honest? Couldn't he be that honest? Say, look, I just don't have the tools anymore.
I think that's understood, Ralph.
He did.
He said,
I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore.
No, he said his body
won't. I want to do other things. I want to
You just hate because you hate.
It's not why I hate. I do hate,
you
but
hate.
It's not why I hate.
But you hate because you hate.
I wish a little honesty would have gone a long way.
I think he is being honest.
I did too.
I think he doesn't want to do it anymore because he can't do it anymore. I think you're right. I think he's right.
You think his mind still drifts to basketball sometimes, though?
Yeah, I do. I believe that as well.
Yes. Shut up, Ralph.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning and the last day of November. What's going on?
Body's still warm, man.
Last day of November.
Right?
Is he retiring to Golden, Colorado? Is that what I heard? Is that where he's going to retire
soon.
To?
Too soon.
Oh, really? Too soon? Where's he going to go?
just wondering.
He's probably going to stay in one of his many Southern California mansions.
He had nice things to say about Philadelphia. He had nice things to say about Philadelphia. That was nice.
I didn't hear that part.
Oh. Said he learned his game in Philly, man.
Was that his John?
On the streets. Said, yo, home, smell you later.
You're getting that mixed up, maybe.
He got into a cab, and then he left him off at the forum, I think. That's where he became the prince of Showtime.
Hello, Dare.
It is Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2. Very successful weekend yet again. $51.6 million. Made it number one. The Good Dinosaur was two. $49.2 million in its debut weekend. Creed! Creed's my John. That was awesome. $30 million made over the weekend. Spectre and the Peanuts movie at number five. The Night Before, Secret in Their Eyes, Spotlight, Brooklyn, and The Martian. Rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Creed was a little sad, though. Creed made me a little sad. Creed.
Why? Okay.
Because Rocky's all sort of busted up and down on his luck and just sort of over. It's hard. It's hard to watch your movie heroes on the other side.
So you're upset about Creed.
That's how we're going to feel when we watch Force Awakens. And you see, see Harrison Ford, you know, Walker to get into the Millennium Falcon. It's going to be sad. It's going to be sad.
Are you subtitles?
Sad, man.
Anything he says?
Sad. When
Taint I'm Wars.
Not. It's not Star Wars. Star Wars.
Very different.
Speaking of movies and sequels and whatnot, Dave, the King of Mexico Sanchez.
Yes.
Doing cartwheels in the other room. Could not be happier. Could not be
he
more.
He has never done a cartwheel once in his life.
He's doing them this morning, doing them. Spinning out, losing his mind with excitement and joy.
What's up? About a new film coming out?
About a sequel.
All right.
Gremlins 3.
Oh, jeez.
Gremlins 3.
I'm sorry. Are those two connected? Dave's doing cartwheels and Gremlins 3?
Once Dave heard Gremlins 3 is in the works, he was giddy. Beside himself. Zach Galligan, who of course played Billy Peltzer in the first two movies, has announced it's not going to be a reboot. It will not be a remake in any way, shape, or form. So it's going to be a flat-out sequel.
Refresh my memory and the listeners as well on the history of the Gremlins movies. How are these 80s films we're talking about?
You don't know the Gremlins, man?
I don't. I have a vague memory. That's the don't feed them after midnight or something? Is that
yes,
the
one?
Get them wet.
Can't get them wet. Don't expose them to sunlight.
Okay. And they're aliens or they're monsters? What are they?
I don't think we have this kind of time.
I don't remember.
How little do you know about the Mogwai?
What's the Mogwai?
Oh, my God!
That was the Indian that John Smith had Thanksgiving dinner with, right? What's a Mogwai?
That's what they are, man. The Mogwai.
That's what the creatures are called?
Yes, that's okay. What the gremlins are.
And where do they come from?
We don't have that kind of time.
No, it's a 30-second summary of the
Someone
Gremlins.
Someone said that, and I agree with
there
him.
Was some form of information storage
There is,
and
it's called Ralph Garman.
Where you could just pump in Gremlins into a search engine and hit a button and get all the information you could ever want to know.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
All right, so we're just going to go forward assuming everybody knows what the hell the Gremlins are.
Well, everyone does. Everyone has grown up watching them, being except you, apparently. 1984, the original film came out, and then, of course, the sequel, Gremlins 2, The New Batch, was released in 1990. Hulk Hogan was in that one. That was a good one. And now, Gremlins 3. So we all excited?
Well, I don't think we're as excited as Dave.
Dave is beside himself.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Asshole.
Come on. Adele's excited. Her new album, 25, has sold 3.5 million copies in a week. It's the best-selling album over the span of a week in the history of album charts.
Is that good?
That is good. It has sold more copies than the second best-selling album through the 87th best-selling album combined.
Is that good?
That's good.
Okay.
It has...
Is that good?
It's so powerful, it has brought her previous album, 21, back into the top 10, which is at now number 9. It is Adele's world. We are just living it. Just want to let you know.
That's correct.
And people are upset about stuff. People are upset about the Zoolander 2 trailer. Have you seen that?
I've seen it, yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch stars as the new villain of the piece. He plays a model named All. And the joke is he's a what they call a gender-fluid model. He looks like a man, like a woman. Is he a man or a woman? In fact, Zoolander or Hansel or one of those guys asks him, do you have a hot dog or a bun? Look, admittedly, not a funny line, but still, no need to be upset, transgender community. But they are. Online petition has been issued with nearly 16,000 signatures who want people to boycott Zoolander 2 because they believe the character is a mockery.
Every character
of androgyne,
in that...
trans, or non-binary individuals.
Every character in that movie is a mockery of whoever.
Yes, it's a spoof, it's a parody, it is a goof, if you will, on the fashion industry. And I truly, regardless of what my personal feelings may be about the film, I truly believe they mean no harm.
You do what you want, but I'd say pick your battles.
Just saying, this may not be the vehicle that makes or breaks people's opinions about the transgender community. And even more inexplicable, customers are taking to the internet in droves to complain about the holiday Reese's peanut butter cups.
What?
You heard me. The candy is made from the sweet, delicious Reese's peanut butter cup formula we all know and love, but they are shaped like Christmas trees.
Okay.
However, photos flooding the internet say once you peel off the foil wrapper, it looks less like a tree and more like just like a blob. They are furiously complaining to Hershey's.
Are you kidding
they're
me?
They're not getting the peanut butter cup they're promised on the outside packaging.
Are you kidding me?
I am not.
Can we deport all of those people?
Can we spay and neuter them? Seriously.
This fear, thousands and thousands of complaints that the peanut butter cup trees don't look like Christmas trees once you take the wrappings off.
I mean, I think the specific complaint is that they just look like poops, right? It's just a little chocolate poop that comes out of the bag, and that's what people are
Is someone
think,
saying
upset
poop?
About. Oh, yeah, that's what they're saying. Yeah, the big hashtag was Christmas turd, I think.
Here's the thing. When you bite into it, is it delicious Reese's peanut butter cup?
Yeah, it is.
Well, then, what the serious F?
That's insane.
I'm going to get a bag of those, I'm going to Zoolander 2, and I'm going to kick my feet up, and I'm just going to watch and say, stop it, everyone. This is what they're going to write about when they say the end of the American society.
I hope that's
the civilization.
Not.
When it went down, this is what people were preoccupied with. This is what they were spending their time complaining about. As the oceans dried up and the temperatures shot through the roof and the polar ice caps melted, they were
like,
upset about Zoolander 2 and peanut butter cups.
America's in a pretty good place where people have room in their lives to be upset about the shape of a piece of chocolate that they're eating.
But they don't have room in their lives. There's other things that are missing from that life that need to be put in there, and the other things need to be moved out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chrissy Teigen, she's 30 years old today. Chrissy listens
she's
to the
delightful,
show, by the way.
By the
listens
way.
To the show, and so we wish her
don't she?
A happy birthday.
That's
yes.
Nice.
Kaley Cuoco is 30 years old today as well. Alicia Cuthbert. Turns 33. Steve Aoki, DJ extraordinaire, is 38. Ryan Murphy, 50 years old today. Ben Stiller, there he is. Derek Zoolander himself is 50 years old today. Billy Idol, 60. Mandy Patinkin is 63. And our good friend, creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman, celebrates his 37th birthday today. He has been a friend of the show for many years. I remember the first time we had him on.
No, you don't remember the first time.
I can see why he kept coming back, because it was a warm, well-informed greeting he got.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Well, we're also going to talk about a movie. I'm sorry, a TV show, too. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin. God damn it.
At least Kevin was in good voice that morning.
We were in Vegas, and maybe I'd stayed out a little.
Kevin, it's a new movie. It's fantastic. I haven't seen it, but it's remember Kings, man.
That was about 8 minutes from death.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Petros Papadakis on the program talking about the new USC coach.
Can we talk to him, too, about the challenge when we get him on?
The challenge.
I watch the challenge each and every week.
He debates a chicken or something?
He doesn't debate a chicken.
Wait, if he debates a chicken, I'm in.
It's the show that's on after Sunday Night Football on NBC. Mm-hmm.
It's him and Rogan.
Right. It's him and Seth Rogan, and they're looking for a party. They're looking for a party on Christmas Eve, and they go out, and they get drunk, and somebody throws up in a church.
That's the night before, but this is a sports show that Petros is on. Yeah, we can absolutely talk about the show.
It's supposed to be a sports show, but all I see is Petros not being able to say anything and friend Rogan giving away Xboxes. That's the only thing I ever see on that show. They give away bark loungers and Xboxes, and then they throw it to the news. And I'm like, why does this show exist? Why is this happening? They show some high school kids scoring a touchdown, and then someone gets a bark lounger, and then Petros isn't allowed to talk, and then it's off the air. It's like 8 minutes long, and it's just somebody winning tickets to something. It's bizarre. It's like public access. It's like watching someone pull ping pong balls out for the lottery numbers. It's barely a show. I don't know why it exists or what's happening.
All right.
But I need to get to the bottom
of it. We'll look into that.
Because it makes my brain hurt every time it's on. All right, I'm done.
You can still vote for the Miss Double December contest. We're doing that through Friday is the actual pageant, Friday morning. We're going to have another contestant in tomorrow morning. And we've also got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Tuesday Christmas and the Bud Light backstage passes as well tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.